They're working now, but they're thinking how they'll lose. Don't inflate the brain. They're turning back again for two scoops of some juicy raisin. Kellogg's Raisin Bran.
Another edition of Comedia Gogo's podcast, Public Access. Once again, this is Larry.
This is Regan.
And this is Jess.
And we are happy campers to be talking about what today, Regan?
Three topics today. Topic number one is, what is your signature dish that you make best? Topic number two, what's the meanest thing you've ever done, on purpose or on accident? And topic number three, who is your favorite duo of all time? Music, acting, sports, or whatever.
Larry and Regan.
No, comedic duo.
No,
not at all.
Ever.
That's all right, if that's your answer.
It's not. That's why I said it now.
Okay.
And we are pleased as punch to have, not once, not twice, but thrice.
Yes.
Yeah.
On the Public Access Podcast, the hilarious, good friend of ours, Aaron R. Yemper.
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey, despite my photo, I'm so pleased as punch to be here.
Well, Jess is getting attacked by a spider or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm concerned for Jess.
I'm alive.
Yeah.
Are you, though?
Inside.
Aaron, I am featuring for you at the River City Comedy Club, and it's been a lot of fun.
The River City.
I sure did.
Why not?
Maybe that's why people aren't showing up. They don't know.
Come down to River City.
The River City Comedy Club. We couldn't find the place.
We got sent to Oklahoma. And people that are fans of you, where could they follow you and find you online?
They want to find me online. First, they download this episode.
Yes.
Yeah. And then they hear the hilarity that's about to ensue. And they
go, I
want to hear more of that.
I want that guy.
Yeah, I want that guy. And
that
then,
Nathan Lane looking.
That Nathan Lane. See, I only brought it up because that happened the last time I was on the show where somebody thought that I let, but I always get something different. I always get like, you know who you look like? I'm like, no, please. And it's always somebody. I talked about this on Facebook a while ago. By the way, facebook.com/AaronComedian. That at a show, it's like, you know who you look like? You look like, what's that guy? Perez Hilton.
I saw that post.
But you know, like before all the, his crazy weight loss and not quite as gay. I'm like,
not quite.
Right. Thank you. I've gotten McLovin. You look like McLovin. Like,
McLovin?
But like an older, like let himself go a little bit McLovin. I was like, thank you. I appreciate
it. That could go for anybody.
Yeah, thank you. So to answer your question, AaronAryanpour.com is a little hard for people to say. So Aaron Comedian, AaronComedian.com. Mm-hmm. And then there's links on there, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube channels at Aaron Comedian. All of that's there. So
and see all that good stuff.
Yeah.
All that good stuff. Since the last time we've seen you.
Ups and downs. I don't even remember exactly what we talked about the last time, but there's been a lot of things going on. I've been traveling around, touring. I recorded two albums.
Oh, well, nice. That's awesome. What album? My favorite album? Pearl Jam 10.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I taped over that one. no, but one of the last times I saw you since the podcast was when we did the thing in Austin.
Yes.
With Stand Up Records.
And so. And I saw you in Dallas.
Yeah.
3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
For a show in a bar.
You came a long way for a bar show.
I sure did, dude.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, dude, I made it.
And but I had recorded quite a bit of material back in April, and so went through the process of going through listening to all of that and making notes and all that. And so the record studio, whatever, as it is, has all that, and so they'll be putting it all together. Hopefully the first one's going to be out
before the end of the year. Is that where people can purchase it?
Yeah, hopefully before, you know, by the end of the year, it's going to be on iTunes. It's going to be on some, you know, radio, you know, stuff like that. But I'll have physical copies of it too. People can get it through the website.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I can't wait. I'm glad you're here.
I'm happy to be here. You guys are always fun.
You posted a picture a while back of you yelling on the phone.
Yeah.
What? It's hilarious. What is going on there? It's like, it looks, is it from a film or from a movie or something?
So I got contacted by a guy who's making a, like a student pilot.
Okay. Oh.
And so he wrote this thing that's like four episodes long, and he contacted me through the website, but he also contacted my agent.
Okay.
And then my
agent, Hollywood.
I don't, but I haven't booked anything. And she told me, she goes, you may hear from this guy. It's not paying anything. So you may not, it's like one of those kind of things. And she goes, don't do it. I was like, well, I've got to do something.
Okay.
And so, I had agreed to do it. We tried to make time to do it. And he was like, so I got this rough idea for the show. I've got these scripts ready to go. We'll be taping these few things. And then for your episode, I don't have the script yet, blah, 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 blah. But here's the first three scripts so you get an idea of what it is. And the whole time I'm reading it, I'm like, am I playing the part of the guy you guys keep referring to as like the fat moron? like
he went as far to get your agent information.
Yeah. So that was not the character's name, at
least.
So
I hope not.
No.
In the credits.
But
it was Percy Persian.
Yeah. So the point was that it's supposed to be like this low-level gang thing where it's like these young guys are trying to make it in this kind of like underworld, whatever. And then I'm supposed to play this like low-level, not too bright, whatever, entry point into that underworld. Okay. And they've stolen from me. And so the photo that I had posted was a still from the phone call scene where I'm talking to two dead guys, kind of basically, which was what that is. And so he told me what he wanted, and I didn't want to play it up like too, I don't know, stereotypical or whatever. But he shows, I go, well, here's some of the outfits I have in mind. And he goes, I've got this Adidas jacket. I really want you to wear this. I was like,
I got this business suit. I got this nice shirt and tie. Yeah. I got this Adidas jacket.
And it was one of his. So here's this guy. And he goes, I don't want a shirt underneath. I'm like, son of a, fine. So I've got no shirt on. But I've got this, and it's about a size or two too small. You can't really see it in the photo, but like it's all zipped up to, you know, the chest hair. And I'm just sitting there angry on the phone. And like I'm using my anger because I was really angry. Like I'm sitting in a very awkward position. I've got this too tight Adidas jacket on. I've got my phone up to my ear for all morning, whatever. And my ears are actually red. Like you can't act that angry. But my ears are red and I'm like furious on the phone. I was really pissed. I was like really pissed. Like, I'm not getting paid for this. I'm just sitting here. I'm the fat moron.
You know, wow, you're really good, man.
I'll show you stupid.
I'm going to show you stupid and fat and mean.
I
used it.
Did you get your chest hairs caught in the zipper of the Adidas jacket?
Not that particular time. It's happened before, but
right.
Yeah, I've learned my way around it.
Man, I've never had zippers around my chest.
Yeah, exactly.
Bare chested and zippers. I keep that two things very, very far apart.
Yeah,
because I got chest hairs that are longer than my head hairs.
So do I, but that's for other reasons. It's because I'm balding.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, dude. So did you see the finished product?
I haven't seen it yet. It was supposed to be done right before September.
Oh.
Right. No. he was meeting with somebody. But no, the thing is, it's like I have a pretty unimpressive demo reel. That's why I don't get a lot of things through my agent. So it's one of those things where I've done sketches with people, and I was like, okay, let me try to do some funny stuff and, you know, like actually put like a 5-minute demo to put together. And one of the things that the lady who was like really sweet, she has these scenes that she'll have you act out, and then she'll like professionally shoot it and edit it and make it look like, even if you haven't filmed anything for real,
it looks like scenes
and looks like a demo. I'm not happy with any of it at all. She did as great a job as she could, but I just like, I was ready to move on. So I've got some sketches that I really like. Plus, I did this thing. I was like, okay, well, maybe this will be a silly thing, but also maybe kind of serious. And then I just got tired of waiting, so I wrote a sketch for me and my son. So I'm an idiot. A fat idiot.
With a Puma jacket.
Real different.
But I wrote it as a father and son, like heart-to-heart kind of thing, outdoors in the park on a park bench. And in my head, it was all great. But we taped it like in mid-August. We're just sitting out there all morning and all that. But I used my son.
That's awesome.
And he was really good. And just trying to encourage him, like, as we were doing it, because it's just like he'd say the line. I'm like, all right, let's try it one more, whatever. And it's like, he almost became like the kid from the end of Pee-wee's Big Adventure. He's like, I was born ready. Like, I got this. You know, just
roll.
Roll.
Hey!
Action!
Action!
I'm going to start a paper out right now.
Right now. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm hopefully going to take all those bits and pieces and put something together. I played, like, the dumb idiot a lot. Like, the few roles that I have booked have been for those, like, don't be that guy.
You're Mr. Bungle.
Mr. Bungle, back to Pee-wee. Yeah. Like, but, like, I went to go tape something at, like, a military exchange, like, out on a base, right? And it's like, you think about it being, like, a very, you know, high security military, whatever. But then I've never been on this base before, and there's an exchange, and you can get anything there, right? Like, it's where all the airmen and the...
Like,
the
international water type where, shit?
No. Like, in the middle of a base in Fort Worth.
Like plutonium and stuff?
No. Like a mall.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Where is going that?
Like spy stuff?
It's stressing out right now.
It's for soldiers, sailors, for airmen.
So they want
to buy gifts for their family, or they're going to buy a TV, or they're going to be whatever. I've been booked a few times to play. Like, I never get played to be the smart guy. I'm always the guy, like, which gift is he going to pick for his wife? Is he going to pick the really nice dinner? Is he going to pick the frying pan? And there I am with the frying pan, like, oh, pick the frying pan. Like,
you love that. And then you hear off camera, boom.
Guess you didn't like it, me.
I should have paid more attention. I'm just kind of typecast.
So the guy contacted your agent through your website, and you didn't know him personally, obviously.
No.
So did he see you on stage?
Yeah. And in the clips and stuff like that online. And one of those, it's really humbling / very complimentary for someone to say, I've seen you. I like what you do. I think you would be perfect for this fat idiot that I have in mind.
Oh, that was good. Building up and go.
But was it serious at all, or was it funny? Was the thing funny?
He's trying to make like a little like a crime drama kind of
okay.
thing.
Okay,
so in my head,
you were the comedic. What's it called?
Yeah, the scene's supposed to play funny. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I will tell you this: I don't feel any like he uses. I don't even know how to say this, but it's like the character is not a good guy.
Right.
And he's like, I'm talking to two. And one of the times he calls the kid, he's like, oh, one of my guys said that he saw somebody. He said, what did he look like? They look like a couple of faggots. Is that what they said? Faggot. And like, as I read that, I'm like, I don't like that word.
Yeah.
Right.
And by the way, when he sent me the script, he goes, this is totally collaborative. Nothing. You know. Yeah. And I was like, look, is there something else I can say?
Yeah.
You know, because I'm not comfortable with that word. And I was thinking back to my own history. It's like, I've been accused of saying that word before. And I remember, like, my blood running cold. It was like, I don't talk like that. Yeah.
I would never say that word, you fucking faggot.
Yeah. Larry, on the other hand.
But then flows. I was like, and I came up with, like, some alternatives. I'm like, well, what if I mean, like, because it's basically, you're calling the guy out, not necessarily because you think he's gay or this or that. So I could say anything. I can call him a pussy. I can call him whatever. And then the guy was like, it's so funny because it's like he's written it and he's directing it. And he's like, I really think it informs the character that it was like, oh, I'm going to have this argument now, am I? Like, it was like not worth the whatever.
Yeah.
But so like we did it and the scene was fine. But like that part like really stuck out. Like in my head.
See,
like,
that's going to be in the trailers.
That'll be in the trailers. Yeah. Like, this is Adidas jacket wearing faggot hater.
That's what your name is on the credits.
Be my epitaph.
Faggot hater.
Because I was going to ask it too, since it was a college film, was it just like way too many like expletives in there? You listen to me, you fucking piece of shit. I'm going to go through you faster than a dick through an asshole. Like,
yeah,
like just very like this is like the best college film ever.
It's like he wanted to make like he wants to make it like a little like crime serial or whatever. But it reminded me of what I would have done in high school or college, trying to write something Tarantino-esque, where you know there's some serious things are going on and some nefarious characters here, but then they're going to break and talk about something pop culture for a little bit. Yeah. Like there was all that kind of stuff in there. So I could see the influence and it's like, it was cool. Right. It was also, and I don't want to say this, but I'm saying it here now. It was also kind of adorable. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, that's what you do. It's like you write it and you want to make it happen. And...
You want me to say faggot, that was,
I'll say. But the picture, adorable is what I think of when I see the picture, though. Like, I think it's great. Like, it's in a adorable way.
This past weekend, I just went to go see an ex-student of mine's band. And he's this, you know, cute, all-American-looking white kid. And I had, and all that I've ever, when he did his talent shows, he did acoustic singing. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's what I'm expecting. I go out there, and it's him. He's on bass, and he's got this other dude. And his lead guitarist has a total metal guitar. Yeah. Like, it's like.
Like a flying V.
Yeah, flying V. Like, and then the drummer comes out, and they start playing. And the lead other dude starts, and I'm like, oh my God, what the hell? But all I was like, this is adorable.
Look at
it. Like, look at
and
them.
Here's the thing. Like,
look
if you,
at his codpiece with penises all over it.
If anybody in their 30s said that to you in your 20s.
Yep.
While you're being metal.
Like you're being
I mean, trying as hard as.
If and you I'm were just, a metal Tarantino.
Yes.
You're like, oh, fuck. You would.
Yes, yeah. But it's I totally get it. It's like they're trying.
I don't want to diminish. I just want to make that point. They were, I'm not trying to.
Talented. They were a talented group of kids, and I was like,
oh, guys.
I was like, that's
what's the name of their band?
I don't know.
Kitten Kisses.
Right.
Something of silence. Satan.
Silence.
Silence of reason, or something like that. I don't know.
Oh, guys.
Acid reflex.
Yeah. Twitchy knee.
But it was. I just kept saying like that. They're adorable.
He who comes once with a bear and leaves twice on Sundays.
No, dude. They're called My Blood's Blood.
Blood Bullet.
Monk? Yeah. Is that a monk reference?
A monk reference.
Fuck, dude. You know that monk represent?
Tony Shalhoub, yeah.
It's an episode. It was, they're making,
Blood Bullet.
They're making fun of CSI, and the show within the show was about the murder suspect was shooting people with blood bullets. So when the bullet shot into the guy, the blood would just melt inside the guy. They would never trace the bullet. Because the blood bullet was made of blood.
That's genius.
Yeah, but it was.
Why doesn't that exist?
I think, fuck, dude, Monk, what did you do, Monk?
I just recently saw that there's a movie called The Three, but it's not the same. It's not the same plot as from Adaptation. So
yeah. Well, there's also a movie called
Serial Killer. Though.
Going on an older topic, there's a movie called Final Girl.
Like, oh, really?
Straight
it's
up,
called
yeah.
Final
it's called
Girl.
The Final Girl. Yeah, nice. It's kind of
a Final Girl is like the girl who survives in any horror movie. Okay, that's like what it's called, and so they named that movie Final Girl.
Yeah,
that's ironically she's the first to go. I've seen it.
Is there a movie called Slasher? Slasher.
I'm sure there is.
Is that your student's band's name?
No.
Oh, Acid Reflex, Slasher, Blood Bullet.
They're called AC Slayer.
AC Slayer. What up, Preppy?
Yeah. They just all have just 90s Jacob mullets and fucking,
90s, what do you call it, tank tops. And
they just do play metal. They do ballet in the middle of it.
Yeah, but they play Slayer.
But it's really heavy, though. It's really metal.
AC
really,
Slayer.
AC Slayer.
There's a shirt. Exists.
Super crunchy.
I like it. Aaron. I'm so happy you're doing well. I like that you're here. I like you're wearing Comedy Hat.
Yeah, Comedy Hat.
Comedy Hat. Yeah. Comedy Hat is happening. And guys, this is going to air after we're done with River Center. But regret.
I mean, for the weekend.
Regret like, not going.
Yeah,
regret it.
AC Slayer, not a real thing. It's like I Googled it. There's nothing.
Well,
hold on. Let me.
Maybe it is a real thing. They're just really awful as far as self-promoting goes. They're all about the music,
super
man.
Super underground, dude. Yeah. AC Slayer is a fucking post-90s thrash metal.
They have the t-shirts.
Yeah, they're focusing on the right things.
Come on, guys. Push yourselves a little bit better.
Yeah, come on, guys.
Yeah, AC Slayer.
Come on, guys.
Come on, guys.
Album, it's their first album?
Come on, guys.
No, it's come on, guys.
Come on, guys.
You need a comma, man. So, Aaron, thanks for joining us.
Yeah.
It was
Is
awesome.
It over?
It's it, dude.
No, okay, thanks.
So, hey, everybody, it's time for another installment of Yeah, I'm Looking to That, a segment where I talk about movies and video games, and hopefully the enthusiastic reaction of friends and listeners would be, Yeah, I'm Looking to That. So, This week we're talking about the very exciting, very thrilling, very white knuckle action-packed East Side Sushi.
East Side or Eat Side?
East Side Sushi.
All right.
Yeah, and the movie is an indie movie about a young single mother Latina named Juana. And
Juana?
Now follow me on this and just tell me, because, you know, this is kind of a in between a yeah, all right, then, and yeah, I'm going to look into that because of just follow me anyway.
All right,
so,
go ahead.
Single Latina mother Juana runs a fruit cart, a fruit cup cart, right? As well as she should.
Yes.
Palantera, wait.
No, an actual fruit cup. Like, yeah,
fruteria.
And she's robbed. Ooh, so all of her money goes away. And her dad says, hey, you can't give up. You got to keep on going. So as it turns out, Juana has had many restaurant jobs. She's had lots of jobs.
Yeah, oh, I mean, her name's Juana.
Exactly.
So, wow, guys.
So passing down the street.
This is Jess's movie.
Yeah. So passing down the street, presumably in the east side, she passes by a sushi restaurant. And she's like, wow, I've never seen sushi before in my life.
She's never been to a Chinese buffet?
I don't think she – like, it's very weird how in this movie, Juana – like, it's like
– for a reference, all of my students, when they say they like sushi, they mean they like the sushi from a Chinese buffet.
It's still yeah, sushi. It's
no,
sushi,
I know, yeah. But that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, they've still seen sushi.
Let them, dude.
Yeah. You got to – everyone's got to have their first. So Juana's first sushi is the sushi restaurant, and she sees a help wanted sign on the door, and she's like, fuck it, I want to work at this restaurant because I need to support my child. I'm a single mother. She starts washing dishes at first, right?
Yeah.
And then, you know, she gets booted up, and they respect her, and they like her, all these Japanese
guys. At the sushi place.
At the sushi place.
Digging on Juana.
And then, behind closed doors, after hours, she gets curious, and says, you know what, I'm going to take a stab at this making sushi thing. It looks like something that I can be good at. But oh no, the Japanese very male dominated restaurant are like not only like upset that she was using company, you know, assets or whatever, they also shunned her because it's not a woman thing to do. Women
is that true?
That's you know, I don't think so. I don't not today's standards.
Come to think of it, I can't imagine any time I've seen.
I've never seen.
I've never seen a sushi. Female sushi. Yeah. Have you?
Yeah, at Fujiya. Yeah, there's. Yes, her name's. What's her?
It's usually a bunch of dudes looking at me like I don't know what I'm talking about.
Right.
Because
I would also imagine it's a cultural thing, like where the wall is up because it's like you are not one of us, and you can't. Oh, you can't learn.
Yeah.
Right?
One of
which is totally different for Mexican women, who's they should only be in the kitchen.
Right. Yeah. One of the top ladies at Fujiya is like an older Japanese woman.
You guys all agreed with me.
So, but in the world, in the fictional world of East Side Sushi.
They're all Yakuza.
Oh, much disrespect. You know, like,
wow, dude.
That's what the movie did. I'm sorry.
Dead on.
I didn't fucking like
Danny Trejo's in a movie?
Yeah, exactly. So,
Machete don't make sushi.
It's the sushi thing. So, she perseveres, and she's like, you know what? I am going to be America's first Latina sushi.
That's what this movie's about.
And then so...
This is in wide release?
Yeah. This is a small release. It's a small thing. It's sweeping. It's getting a lot of buzz at lots of festivals.
A lot of food trucks.
Exactly. So she gains...
Is this based on a true story now?
No. Okay. No. Absolutely not.
Because, you sure?
It's probably like wasn't sushi. It was probably something else.
It's got to be sushi.
It was a single Latina mom who wanted to play like bass in a heavy metal band, and she started Acid Reflex. But they're like, that will never sell in a movie. We got to make it sushi because Chef, it's all the rage. There's lots of food movies coming out, so this is definitely one of them. And so what happens, I guess, is that she pushes her sushi skills and enters like sushi contests, and the Japanese guys are all like, "This is bullshit." But then they end up like warming up to her, right. And then
this
she
is
ends
like
up-
dragging the Bruce Lee story almost.
Nah, man, it's Karate Kid 2, dude.
Okay.
Next Karate Kid.
Yeah, and just like Karate Kid 2, she starts putting like chipotle and corn and.
Oh, you can't do that. You can't put your own flavor into something traditional. How dare she?
Yeah,
fusion.
How dare she?
It's like putting flaming hot Cheetos on sushi rolls.
How dare she cross cultural boundaries? So not only is she crossing cultural boundaries, she's crossing gender boundaries as well, because she's going to be America's first single mother Latina
real quick. This sushi chef. Shouldn't matter. How attractive is she?
She is just a regular.
So one
so
to ten,
wicked
average.
Hot.
No, it's one of those things where she, you know, they don't have makeup on her, so she's just a single,
like, fat
typical.
Ass and shit.
No, it's just typical Latina mom. She should have a fat ass, but doesn't.
She got mom butt.
She probably
Ooh,
has
she got
mom
butt.
She probably has.
I'm
mom
fucking
butt.
Down, dude.
Yeah. So East Side Sushi, like. At first, I saw the thing. I like watched the thing. I was like, this could be all right. And then the further the trailer went and the more I read about it, the sappier it and typical it kind of sounded. But I love sushi. And I once lived on the East Side.
This is your story.
So this could be my story. So East Side Sushi. That inspires actually tonight's first topic. And the topic is, what signature dish
Boom.
Are you... is something that you make best. What signature dish is like your thing that you make that's delicious and that's you, your stamp of approval's on it. You prove to the world that you can make a good food. And East Side Sushi, she's making some chipotle corn burrito stuffed kimchi burrito or something.
She's making burritos.
And she invents her own signature dish. So we're talking signature dishes. And I'll kick it off in the sense that in the past episodes, I did... laid a claim that I invented the Juicy Lucy on my own as a child. I didn't get any outside fluids. Juicy Lucy is a cheddar stuffed cheeseburger where cheese melts inside. That's a very
I've seen that on, I think it's Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives.
Yeah, Jess stole that idea.
They had multiple shows, but before Food Network, before all those shows, I invented that idea in my head, much like how I invented RoboCop in my head. Before RoboCop came out, I thought they'd be cool if there was a dead cop and they turned him into a robot. And then a year later, in 87, Paul Verhoeven made RoboCop. And I was like, you son of a bitch.
You ever feel like maybe your wavelengths are like they're going out there into the world?
It's too strong. It's Truman Show, dude.
Yeah.
It could be.
Because nobody would ever think of combining both a cop and a robot.
And just go straight up with RoboCop.
I had a similar idea, but I messed it all up because I just wanted to call it. Police bot.
Damn.
And I realize it's all in how you market it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it just doesn't flow off the tongue.
It just doesn't roll off.
Police bot.
He wasn't into the shooting and killing and avenging. He was more of just like your standard.
Thank you for helping me.
The slogan's more complicated. Protecting he once serving. Was a police officer, but he is not a police officer anymore. Now he is. Police bot. Like, it doesn't roll off the tongue.
And then his
part man, part machine.
His catchphrase was, thank you for helping me out and completing your civic duty.
Yeah. You have a good day now.
Can I help you change your tire?
I'm still thinking.
No, my friends call me 457349. You can call me police bot.
So dumb. But the movie ends that way too. And so
could the bad guy be the mom from that 70s show?
I love her.
Yeah, she's in Big.
So
half police officer, half robot, all according to protocol.
So
are we talking about sushi?
Yeah, signature dish. Signature dish.
Oh, you're okay.
So yeah. Lisa doesn't let me cook and stuff because she doesn't want me ruining like any like Le Creuset pan or some shit like that or whatever. There, it's like fancy pans.
Yeah, pans that cost a lot of money.
Pans that are like impenetrable to bad cooking.
Oh.
Except for mine, apparently. So I can't use them. Or whatever. But.
Have you ever been called fancy pans before?
Fancy pans.
Hey, fancy pants. Get over here.
That's come here, you half goat demigod. With your flute, fancy pants.
Oh, wow. All right.
No?
I took a second, but yeah.
Yeah,
got it.
I like it. Now I like it.
Thank you, man.
So the thing that I was proud of that it was a staple in my part of my regimen was the Bill Miller's fried chicken omelet. Right.
I was hoping you were going to say
All right. So what the Bill Miller's fried chicken omelet was is that, so, you know, we've stated in the people before, like if you're not in San Antonio or South Texas or whatever, Bill Mills is a barbecue place, and one of the things they have is great fried chicken. Yeah.
A barbecue place that has great fried chicken.
So we've talked about this many times before, and also that if you – Bill Miller's closes at 9 o'clock. If you go to Bill Miller's around 8:45, 8:30 sometimes, they will offer you abundant amounts of food that they're going to throw out for a cheap price.
Here you go, baby.
So maybe you're in the mood for a turkey po' boy, and that's what you're craving. Then you're like, oh, do you want like a half a – you want a full dozen of fried chicken for like $5? Yes. Yes, I do. And with that $5 fried chicken comes with family order of fries, big loaf of bread. Usually comes with all the fixings.
So this is the place you go to make your signature dish?
Well, this is why the signature dish came to be.
Okay.
So I'm not going to eat all the fried chicken in that one night. I'm going to have a lot of leftovers. That would be ridiculous. I'd eat half of it, you know? So, yes.
So your signature dish is Bill Miller's?
No, but it's what I make the Bill Miller's into.
So, I make a beautiful cake out of these things I get from McDonald's. And no, I'm just.
So I take the fried chicken. So that part's already made. Right. Cut it up into tiny pieces, right? The French fries also cut that up into tiny pieces, like hash browns.
Brilliant. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But now the eggs.
Even though Bill Miller's fucking has hash browns.
Yeah, exactly. But the hash browns.
I didn't even think of it.
They didn't offer me hash browns for cheap. I got the French fries.
Is this a one-time thing?
No, I make this several times because you know it's not the only time you get fried chicken at late night Bill Miller's isn't a one-time thing. That happens a lot of times.
But they always give you French fries. They don't.
They always give you French fries and a big old French loaf of bread. Like it's they always give you that, right? So, so fried chicken cut into pieces.
You hear that, Canada?
French fries, you cut that into pieces. Yes,
you're
eggs.
Good, you're a good cook, dude.
No, five eggs. Five eggs.
Oh, very specific. Five eggs.
Five eggs. Shredded cheddar cheese.
That is half. Almost half.
That is almost half. That's a one egg away from a half a carton, like a whole carton. That's five eggs. Because I don't fuck around. Like, I want this to be substantial. I need a good Saturday
morning.
You're
going to go through all
breakfast.
The effort to yes. buy.
And plus, I want to go. I want to plow through as much old chicken so the chicken doesn't go bad in my fridge. I want to use as much chicken as I can. So it's usually like two pieces of fried chicken worth of chopped chicken, and then like half a thing of like a family order fries, shredded cheese, five eggs. You know, if I got onions, I'll throw it in there. But most times I don't buy vegetables, so of course there's no onions.
But do you use
the
pickled onions that come with shit? That would be kind of gross.
That would be kind of gross. But no, it would be actual pickles that are over there. So that made that into a very delicious fried chicken omelet, and that's the reuniting mother and son.
I was just about to say, yeah.
And one delicious dish. That because the Juicy Lucy really is my signature dish, but I've already talked about the Juicy
Lucy.
So
what do you call the omelet?
The Bill Miller's fried chicken omelet.
Truth in advertising.
Just straight up exactly what it is.
Ocean Breeze soap will get you clean.
There's all these like blogs and stuff of like what to do with your leftovers. And like I was, you know, I get it. Like that's one thing you do with your leftover fried chicken when they give you a dozen pieces of fried chicken for $5 and you're single and you're sleeping in your dirty laundry and, you know.
Fucking fish pillows.
Yeah, exactly. You're fucking holes in the couch. That's what you do. You want a good breakfast to give you that energy to do that. So, Bill Miller's fried chicken omelet. That's my signature dish.
So also, in the light of watching Food Network, and I could do that, my signature dish I call special number two, and Andy likes it when she's sick. Special number two is a play on the ramen noodle bowls that they would do for the challenges on Man versus Food. Right?
Oh, the really hot ones?
The really hot ones. And so what I would do is I would get, I'm dumb, because I'd get raw chicken. And I'd pan fry it,
mm-hmm.
and you know, to like, yeah, to it's white, you know,
till it's actually, white.
You would cook the chicken.
I would cook the chicken.
Okay, right. So
yeah.
You cook chicken,
grill the chicken.
Yeah,
right.
Pan fry.
And then I get ramen noodles,
mm-hmm.
right? And you know, 3 minutes on boil, right? Mm-hmm. Like regular ramen noodles, nothing
right.
special.
Yeah.
I get green onions while the chicken's frying. I also fry. Garlic chili, sauce?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. You got that in the pantry.
Grill that sriracha, right?
Because you got that in the pantry, too.
Yeah. All in the pantry, mm-hmm. right? Grill that up, and then chopped onions, throw a little egg in there, right? With the ramen, right?
What kind, like you mean like a boiled, like a sunny side up egg?
Raw egg.
Okay.
In the ramen, poaches it, right? Get the ramen noodles, do the little chicken seasoning on there, right? With the egg, right? And then I add the garlic chili green onion chicken to that and throw some red pepper flakes.
Wait,
for
what
a little
flavored
garnish.
Ramen?
Chicken, bro.
Okay, chicken flavored ramen.
Can't do it with shrimp or oriental because
okay.
That's racist.
Yeah. So when do you put the chicken flavored ramen mix?
I put the chicken flavored ramen mix once the ramen noodles hit the bowl. So I don't add it to the boiling water because it takes it away.
Yeah, that's
I add
what you're
it straight to the noodles. Nuh-uh. And
that's why I've always done it.
You're supposed to do that so it boils into the noodle, so it sucks up the flavor.
But I don't. You add it to the noodles
it's your,
in the bowl. This is my signature dish. Special number two. It's pretty good.
Why is it called the number two?
Because that's what it was called on Man vs. Food.
Oh, okay.
It's my signature dish.
It's someone else's signature dish.
And it'll fucking make you shit really hardcore. But yeah, that's my thing.
It's because it's special. And then you go number two.
Yeah, it's exactly
and then you
right.
go number two. I have
go
two.
Go later.
Yes, I get it. I have two. One is migas. I cook friggin' migas very well. I perfected it over years. I was taught by my mom. I love me some migas.
Poor people.
It is poor people food. I once ate it for 2 weeks straight when I lived in Colorado. It was like 45 cents for a stack of corn tortillas, and then a dozen eggs was cheap, and then get some cheddar cheese. You can survive off of that. Super cheap migas. I like them crispy, so I chop them up, little squares, fry them up. Beforehand, throw the eggs, all that stuff, bell peppers, onions, tomato.
Amigos are?
Yeah. Love them.
Total. Anglo.
He lives in Texas.
I live in Texas. I've been to IHOP. I know.
Do they have amigos at IHOP?
I don't know.
They have Majims.
Yeah. I don't think they have amigos at IHOP.
Other dish, it's a rare special occasion to make this. It's called Chicken Kelaguin. It is a Guam dish that I ate it at the Folklife Festival.
Oh, okay.
Jeez, what the wow, now it's okay?
Yeah, that's cool. Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah, so anyway, Texas Folklife.
You didn't eat it in Guam?
No. Oh, that would have pissed you off.
Yeah, I was like, actually, this is a special dish that I ate, when I was in Thailand for about a
show. Texas Folklife Festival. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. Here in San Antonio, it's like a 4-day festival where they bring a lot of cultures, all the cultures from San Antonio, and they all do dances, art, music, and food booths from all the different cultures. It's really, really cool. One of the coolest things about San Antonio. I just wish it wasn't during the summer because it's always like in July and it's like 3,000 degrees. But
that's snow cones.
Very, very cool event. And one of them that they have this, sort of Guam area where those people do, dresses and whatnot. And they have this dish called Chicken Kelaguin. I ate it this one time. And I was like, holy crap. That is amazing. It's Kelaguen. Kelaguin. And it's like chicken with a bunch of soy sauce, a bunch of coconut milk, a bunch of chopped up serrano peppers and onions. And you mix it all up and you shred the chicken. You serve it with some coconut jasmine rice. And I made these other things. It's really, really good. It's awesome. Chicken Kelaguin.
Make me some, bro.
It's rare that I make it, but it's very good.
Your birthday's coming up.
I'll make it for my birthday?
Yeah, you should. No, you'd make him that.
No, he won't make it right.
I won't make it right.
We'll make him a special number two.
I don't want that crap.
Goddamn
ramen?
Yeah, it's good.
No, I'm sure it's good. It's my birthday.
I make real food, but that's my
signature
dish.
That's your signature dish. I get it.
I rock pepperoni chicken.
No, I gotcha. Mm-hmm. I can make a mean lasagna.
Jambalaya, motherfucker.
Whatever.
You guys are looking at me. I don't.
You don't make anything.
Look, I feel like I cook all the time.
Okay.
I feel like I shop all the time. But if I were to think about any kind of like signature dish, I'm like, I don't know.
It's like, exactly.
So here's the thing. It's like before kids, I remember I would make all sorts of breakfast stuff, I would always, even then I know I made dinner like before I came here, but it's like, it's nothing that I'd be proud of. It's just like spaghetti, meatballs, things like that. But I used to do the breakfast stuff all the time. I'd wake up. And I'm like, I'm going to make eggs and sausage and all this stuff. And I would really go all out. And we'd cut up the vegetables because my grandpa used to show me this. Like, you take, like, the toast egg bread, challah, whatever. You put a bunch of, like, butter on it. And then you just slice tomato and slice cucumber on it. It's, like, super simple, but a little bit of salt on that. You eat that like a sandwich along with your eggs and all that kind of stuff. I don't have time for that anymore.
Yeah.
I don't sleep.
Do I wake up? I'm not happy.
Right.
I wake up. I don't want to make anything for anybody.
Cereal.
Everybody's getting cereal. You go, well, frozen waffle? Just eat the frozen waffle. Yeah. All right. I feel like I make a whole lot of peanut butter and jelly now. Like a whole lot of, you know what? Because here's the other thing. I'll do dinner. And then trying to get, because I've got the two kids, the youngest is three, trying to get him to eat whatever it is that we're all eating. And then telling him, and you're trying to make this deal with the child, you have to eat this. We are all eating this. Eat your noodles. I made you noodles and meatballs. Eat it. And I don't want to eat it. I don't want to. You can't be hungry later. You cannot be hungry later.
I'm not allowing
this now
to be hungry later.
And he's like, oh, no, I want dessert. You eat this then, and then you can have dessert, and then he'll eat like a little bite, get a little bit of dessert, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then, like, without fail, it's time to go to bed, and he's complaining about being starving.
Starving. And what do you reply to that?
You had your chance.
You had your chance. Nice.
You had your chance. All right. And then let me make you peanut butter and jelly.
No. It's our job to feed our children. You have these arguments where, you know, you have a toddler going, I don't like cheese. I want pizza.
Yeah, who doesn't want pizza? I get it.
It's weird.
I don't like potatoes. I want fries.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Yeah.
It's like you were in my house.
Yeah.
No, it's a constant battle for things going in and coming out.
Yeah.
And you just want to make people happy. You want them to shut up. Mm-hmm. That's all it is.
And you want just the touch of nutrition.
That just thrown in a fruit, thrown in a vegetable.
Yeah. So, like, please. Chop it up.
Does that pasta and meatball ever get eat? Like, you does it when he got hungry later, you're like, well, you can have some pasta.
Well, that's what I said, though, too. Is like, there's a bowl. And I told
at
him,
the
too.
Table.
There's a bowl, and it's going in the fridge now. So when you're hungry later, there's no peanut butter and jelly. You can eat these noodles that are right here. And he's like, yes. And then you know what? He's a liar. He has no intention of eating those noodles then. He has no intention ever. So now I got a bowl full of like half slobbered toddler noodles.
That you eat.
That my wife. She goes, what's this you got here?
Oh, that's good. That's baby. Good.
Why is it in an Incredibles bowl?
Right? Because you're incredible, baby. Oh,
what?
Well, you're par.
As long as the food doesn't get wasted, I'm
oh, it's plenty gets wasted. Don't worry.
No, I can't. I am chubby because I can't just throw the food
that's
away.
That's exactly what that is. That is like you become the family goat.
I can't imagine. Mm-hmm.
I've been eating breakfast with the kids every morning at school because they're enrolled in a free breakfast program. So
you
fuck
get
that
their
if it
breakfast.
Wasn't. Yeah, sure was. Yeah. No, I don't know. I don't need. I can't. You it's like a thing. If a parent eats it, then yeah, it's one of those things that it's for the
no,
kids.
No, I get it.
Right. I totally do though.
I was gonna say, yeah, you can't let it go to waste.
Fucked up to see kids throw away whole trays of unopened
dude, you have
cereal
no idea,
and
man.
Untouched waffles.
During testing periods, they sometimes the kids get released on a half day. So what they do is they give the kids sack lunches. Sack lunches is a good sandwich, chips, and like a fruit or something to pickle.
Right.
And you'll see the kids walk into the lunch line, grab their sack lunch, walk out of the sandwich, take the chips out, throw the entire rest of the bag. Like every
sandwich,
7 out of 10 kids will just throw the entire bag in the trash. It is horrible.
I can't do it.
Horrible.
Oh, that pisses me off.
And they can't donate it because it's state mandated funds and it's got to go to the kids, and the kids have to take the lunch because that's how the school gets money. It's horrible.
You know how many kids I'm like, hey, save that cereal for snack later. Like I keep having to hey, don't throw away your fruit.
They don't think beyond the 4 hours or whatever it is. It's ridiculous. Yeah. It's frustrating.
Pretty horrible. Fucking pieces of shit.
All right, let's go look at Facebook answers. What some other people make as their signature dish. Caesar Portillo says, bitches love my asparagus and mushroom risotto. Yeah. That sounds good.
I love it. I'm a bitch. Josh.
Yeah. I guess that's what it means.
Yeah.
Joshua Pullen says, quote, what you got soup? You look in the fridge, you see what you got as far as leftovers, and you make soup out of it.
Oh, you probably got a Bill Miller's fried chicken and potato soup.
Tian Enriquez says fideo. Travis K says homemade pan-fried chicken tenders. Tastes so good that you put it on top of your head, your tongue would beat its way through your brain to get it. What kind of spices, though? What's your batter? That's what I need to know.
Yeah.
Alonzo Cantu just says sandwiches. That's cool. Mm-hmm. Good answer. Sandwiches.
Oh, I
just
can make this shit up.
I can make some pretty damn good sandwiches. Beyond peanut butter and jelly. Yeah. I was selling myself short just then.
Yeah, my signature is actually it's sandwiches. I make good sandwiches. Justin Cooper says breakfast foods: overstuffed omelet, spicy sausage, gravy, and a giant cinnamon rolls included in the spread. That sounds delicious. Stacy Medina says spicy ranchero beans.
Prove it.
Yeah, right. Those are tough to make. Mac O'Lightly says trouble.
Yeah, it's your signature dish.
Yep. Brandy Dunnigan says any sort of white trash casserole. I have a knack for throwing whatever BS is in the pantry into a dish and making it taste good.
I did it the other day with cream of chicken, spaghetti noodles, some frozen peas and carrots and chicken. It was the shit, dude. Yeah, no, it was amazing. I was the only one that ate it.
You're just sitting there begrudgingly. This is good.
This is good.
This is good.
This is good. We're going to get pizza.
My uncle, better pizza. My fucking uncle, found a cabbage in the better crisper, pizza. And he boiled it and then pan-fried it and threw soy sauce on it and made me eat it and go, it's like the Chinese food. It's like Chinese food. You pay money. And you know what? Tastes like Chinese food.
Yeah, that's why I eat cabbage every day. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Let's see. FB says cheesecake. They make mad cheesecake.
Cheesecake.
Sean Jansen says spaghetti.
Yeah.
Kayla Cromer says pop rock pizza.
Wow.
So that's probably your kid's band's name.
Oh, that's a good name. Pop rock pizza. Athena Bryant Wood says the wife sure does like my Captain Crunch chicken.
That Captain Crunch chicken is delicious.
I'm sorry, Captain what?
Captain Crunch.
I heard Captain Cunt's chicken.
Captain Cunt's chicken
that's
is
pretty
what,
good too. It's yeah, it's an acquired taste.
And that's what, I think that's what I'm gonna call my my omelet. Captain Cunt's fried chicken omelet.
The berry one's gross.
Andrew Thomas says I miss
the berries. Captain Cunt.
Yeah, I got
Cunt berries.
There it is.
Oops, all berries. That's the best name of the cereal. It's called Oops All Berries.
Yeah,
it's Captain Crunch's cereal where it's just the berries, and it's called Oops All Berries.
It's brilliant.
There he goes. I love the implication. Yes, the cereal factory fucked up. Here, you eat it.
It's all
Oops mistake. All Berries. It's like Lucky Charms. It's just green clovers.
No, that's what I love. It goes, oh, where'd all the certain shapes go? It's because the factory fucked up, and they're gonna pass on that fucked up cereal to you. But market it to where it's fun.
Raisin Brands, oops, only raisins.
It's just a bag of
a box of raisins.
We forgot the bread, people.
12 scoops.
Well,
it's just all the scoops.
Look at all the this is commercial. Oh, it's fucking purple fucking mush.
Why does that sound so gross? Like Raisin Bran, yeah, that's fine. Raisins and milk,
but just raisins with milk.
Raisins are meant to be eaten in boxes that big. Yeah. Not in big animal bowls.
Like covered in milk.
Like cold milk.
Is that how a president
does?
How's
Raisin Bran?
Oops, all raisins.
Oops, all raisins.
It just like when he puts a spoon in.
I don't know anybody who would like that.
Now I just want that. I want to see that.
Yeah.
It was so
just everybody sad.
these milky
that's
raisins.
The thing about too much of a good thing because when you're eating Raisin Bran, the raisins
it's
are the
great.
Treat.
The yeah.
Part. You want to work around the bran flakes to get to the raisins. Yeah. But when you're presented with all the
raisins, yeah.
Oh.
Like, I need the bran to make me regular. Oh, these raisins will make you shit. Ugh.
That sounds so gross. All right, oops, all raisins.
Just the visual.
Oops, all raisins.
Oops, all raisins. 12 scoops of raisins.
12 scoops.
All right, can that be my signature dish? I'm pretty sure I can do that.
Nah, it's just a bowl of raisins with milk.
It's delicious.
I brought 4 spoons for everybody.
Dig in.
Let those raisins soak up the milk first.
Let them just
real grapes filled with milk.
Milky grapes. No, man, give them a minute. Let them raisins soak up that milk.
But they're also not just regular raisins. They're Raisin Bran raisins. They have a little bit of that sugary powder.
That's why they're delicious.
That milk is going to be so... Oh, that's a weird milk.
Sonny's just making a whoops. He's making like a whoops. No, he's making like a fuck. Like spilling all the raisins.
Yeah. All right. Andrew Thomas says, I make pretty mean chicken enchiladas. It still needs work, like finding a recipe for the red sauce. Ross Carter says, peanut butter stir fry. Interesting.
Oh.
Hi.
Shaggy from Poodle Slam says, grilled cheese with oregano cooked on a Coleman stove in the parking lot of a Grateful Dead concert.
Yeah. Oregano.
Hashtag only $1. Gabriel Diaz says, a nice steaming can of whoop ass.
I don't know.
Buckwell just put a picture of Breaking Bad making meth.
All right.
Sarah Sharp said, originally said marinara, that's right, but I also make a great sweet and sour chicken. I can cook anything, really.
Well, then.
Ooh. Ooh.
Carlos Castro.
Did she make a Bill Miller's fried chicken omelet?
Probably.
I bet you could.
Yeah, I bet you could do it really good.
Did you home make the chicken?
Like, she'd make it really good, probably. Carlos Castro says, my Hawaiian Filipino apple wood smoked Mexican drunk chicken.
Whoa. See, that sounds total signature dish.
That's a signature dish.
Yeah.
Anybody can make spaghetti. You know what I mean? Like, anybody can make a bowl full of
raisins.
But
Hawaiian Filipino.
But, I don't know.
But that sounds pretty specific. That sounds.
Anybody can, but who would?
Yeah, that's what makes it a signature dish.
I can't wait to actually try it.
And what if you're like, eh, this is kind of good. This is what Raisin Bran should be.
Fuck the brand, dude.
Yeah. It's delicious.
That's the tagline.
Fuck the brand.
Oops, all raisins.
Fuck the brand.
Carlos Castro also says, hashtag no kimchi burrito and hashtag still stroking, no poking.
Nice.
Buckwild says, in all seriousness, I make a killer bacon ranch cheeseburger and hamburger helper to die for. It'll keep you up for days.
Yeah, he also makes a cool mix of coffee and cocoa and sugar. Like, it's this fucking amazing thing that he makes. Yeah.
Nice. Ryan Timothy Brace, RTB, says chocolate peanut butter brownies or cherry cheesecake cookie cupcakes. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Cherry cheesecake cookie cupcakes.
That is alliteration. Make those. That is an alliteration. Goody. Send those to us from Canada.
Yeah, RTB, dude. I'm going to Montreal. Let's hang out and make me some cherry cheesecake cookie cupcakes.
That's how you can kill us, Ryan.
Yeah, I have to eat some poutine. He says, though my mom probably makes them better than me since she's the one who taught me how to make them.
Yeah. Pass on the savings to you.
And Sarah Sharp says, where has this guy been hiding? Talking about Ryan Timothy Brace. Cherry cheesecake cookie cupcakes. That's a thing? Sign me up. Or maybe not. Dang it. Stupid weight loss challenge. She's doing weight loss challenge. Ugh. And Richard Morgan says scotch eggs, so I'm told.
Ooh.
And
we didn't like them when we tried them in Line in the Road.
Scotch eggs? They're all right.
Remember, it tastes like someone but that's farted Line in the Road. And fried it.
Scott, like, who knows if you're getting the real.
Yeah, you're probably right, you know?
And Alfred Press says beef fideo, nothing spectacular.
I believe it's good.
Yeah.
Jess probably delicious. Likes it more than anybody else.
What, beef fideo? Nah.
Freddy's.
So nah. Mexicans making sushi.
No, Juana, single parent Latina cook, is looking to win your heart over in East Side Sushi, a movie that captures the essence of the human soul, or so they want you to believe. So that's actually somewhere in between, I'm going to look into that, and all right then, but look into it, at least to give the trailer a shot. East Side Sushi, I'm going to all right then.
I'm going to all right then. All right.
Juana.
I'm never watching that.
And now it's time for another edition of Dad's Cornered.
Here we are on Dad's Corner, making dreams come true.
Stop counting coupons and get involved in Daddy's Corner, bitch!
Hooray.
And I am really happy because Aaron is a father of two just like me. You got two boys, though. Yep. You know, I got my salt and pepper shakers. You gonna have any more?
I don't think so. I love my family.
I got
just
it.
As it is.
Got it. I'm dunzos.
Oh.
So you have one in school and one still.
Well, one daycare,
Yeah. So my son just started kindergarten and he went from daycare and it was, a learning center. It like pre-K since he was two. He has been trained literally at a preparatory school, preparing him for real school, real elementary school. And he's been doing great.
He's been doing fine. I was expecting him to excel. My daughter was the same way. She went from this daycare to school. She was great. She knew her ABCs before everybody. Like, she was surpassed. Like, I wanted her to skip a grade because they kind of told her, hey, chill out, give other people a chance. My son has been, like I said in the past podcast, being a real charming guy. Teacher, you're beautiful. Lunch lady, you're beautiful. The trash lady, you're beautiful. So he's
the trash lady.
No, the trash lady is like this young, like, you know, she's done hard time. That's why she's a trash lady.
Oh, okay, yeah,
not
yeah,
like
yeah.
the homeless trash lady, like the lady that take you throws away all the perfectly good food. All those
jazz
little
dude.
Shits are. Anyway, yeah. So when he was in line, his first day of school, a little boy turned around and they were all nervous, right? He just turned around, made eye contact with Gunner, and Gunner, the sweetheart that he is, looked him square in the face and said, "What?" Just said, "What?" And made the kid turn around. I'm like, "Hey." And he was like, he was looking at me. I just asked him, "What did he want?" And I'm like, "Calm it down, prison rules, right? Like, you don't have to do this." So we get a letter. Well, you know, the notes, he was crawling under the table and doing all this sort of shit. But he's just testing out his teacher. She didn't fuck around. So since then, he's been doing great. But apparently, prison rules, the other day, he knocked a food tray out of one of his friend's hands. Just straight up knocked it out. And then stepped on the kid's food.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. And
so he's a bully.
No, he's not. But like, he's
that's
really
a bully
not.
Move.
That's a soup. That's a Regan bully move.
I never even did that kind of stuff.
So we see that on his paper, and I know when my kids are lying. You know when your kids are lying.
Yeah.
And Gunner never does this, which is a normal kid move. But we go, "Did you knock down your friend's tray?" And he goes, "That wasn't me." Like, pissed. He was pissed. Like, he was like, "They wrote that about me? I wasn't the one that did that."
He was framed.
Yeah, exactly. But it made me think, like, did he really do it? That's mean. That's the meanest fucking thing you could do. You're excited because they
rub the kid's face in it.
Rub the kid's face in it. I'm glad you said that. Right? Made me wonder what he did. Because I remember, and that's why my topic for Dad's Corner is, what's the meanest thing you've ever done on purpose or on accident? And I did this when I was a kid, and you know how you do something embarrassingly, and you get that little, your hair stands on the back of your neck.
Yeah,
and you're so ashamed of it. Yeah, even when you
look
back
up
on
at something, and you're like, "Oh, God damn it!"
I hate thinking about it. Okay. So no excuses, but it's straight up. I didn't know. I remember it very clear. It was one of my earliest memories. 5 years old, kindergarten. Right. I was in this weird position in my family where. My next cousin that was older than me was 3 years older than me, right? So now it's no big deal. But 5 and 8, oh, fuck, she might as well have been in college. And you know what I mean? Like, she just was not going to play with me. And then my next cousin was 4 and 5 years younger than me. So I had this little spot where I was, like, by myself. And I didn't realize it, but I never played tag. I never.
In your life?
At the time. At 5 years old, had never played tag. I didn't have friends, you know, it was just me and my grandma. So first day of school was a true, like, shock.
Yeah.
So we were in the sandbox and in the playground, and they started playing a game of freeze tag. And the way that, I don't know if I can even say this. So I'm playing on the slide, and I see them playing tag, but I take it like they're hitting each other.
Yeah.
Right? I kind of was like those cholos that go to a mosh pit and just start punching people. So I don't really get what they're doing, and I just want to fucking join in. So I'm like in the middle of the slide, like top of the slide, bottom of the slide, middle of the slide. I see a kid that someone says, "You're it." And they tagged him and pushed him. And I go, "Okay, let's do this." Oh, God. And so I jump from the slide on his back, and I start.
God damn it!
I start rubbing his face in the sand and gravel, like from the back of his head,
shouting "Tag, tag!"
And I'm like, "Yeah, you're it." I'm
like, "You don't get it, man! No, I tagged him."
I was murdering this kid, and he was screaming in the stand.
Curb checking a child.
Yeah, jeez, dude. And so then the teacher pulls me off. And I wasn't the type of kid to get in trouble, but they pulled me off like I was, obviously. I was fucking murdering this kid, right? And I immediately started crying because I realized I went too far.
Lost a tag.
Yeah. And, and I was like, but he's still lit. And so that happened. Fast forward to ninth grade, where we're playing tag, but with the goalpost protector, that big styrofoam thing for the field goal.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And everyone's chasing each other with it, and this guy was running away, and I ended up with it. So I chased him, and he was laughing and laughing, and I threw it, not really realizing it was gonna jet. Right?
Yeah.
He trips. It fucking beelines to him and nails him right on the head to the gym floor. And these goalposts are fucking huge, right? They're like, 5 feet tall?
Right.
8 feet tall? Just from as far as I could chunk it. And it lands right here.
Nice.
And then it goes to his head to the floor like, da-dunk, and just busts his head open.
Damn.
And it just reminded me of kindergarten all over again because his fucking head started bleeding.
Oh, man.
I felt bad.
Yeah.
And he wanted to fight me. And I was like, I'm sorry. That was a
true
accident.
You were totally right to want
to
fight me.
Yeah, exactly. I go, I didn't mean. So I took him to the nurse and we were going to get in trouble. And I was like, I'm going to get in trouble. I'm going to get in trouble. It's fine. Let me walk you. Let me be responsible. I did this to you, right? Took him to the nurse. She was like, what happened? And before I could get a word out, he was like, oh, we were playing and I tripped.
Nice.
So he covers for me.
Nice.
And I was like, and I talked to him. I was like, dude, he goes, you didn't do it on purpose. You were in an accident. And like, I was like, okay, I'm sorry, man. His parents come to pick him up to take him to the emergency room because he needed stitches.
Yeah.
And then his dad goes, I just wanted to thank you. You know, for being here with Emilio, and it's good to know that he has good friends like you. And I was like,
you name those stitches after me, huh?
Yeah, exactly. So, Emilio, dude, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to do it. And then the other kid, I don't know who that was.
Like, if this were a movie, that'd be you coming out of retirement. Going, you need to play tag, man. And you're like, no, I can't.
I gave it up.
Well, what happened? No, you don't want to know.
Yeah.
Some dark shit, man. Some dark shit.
Just when I thought I was out, they dragged me back in. Fredo!
So that's the meanest shit I ever did. I've never said it anywhere. So I'm
Wow. Well, that's great. Rest in peace, Emilio.
He's alive. He's my friend on Facebook.
Okay, cool.
He doesn't type in complete sentences. But
no.
He's
still- no. His name's Randy. He works at this fast food restaurant. So, yeah.
I had mean things.
Chase has never done a mean
thing. No, I've done some mean things, I guess, but I think the thing I guess.
But is it on accident's part of them?
Yeah, like, you could be on accident. Yeah, exactly. There was this one time I felt pretty bad. Again, I guess it's that feeling like, oh man, like, I shouldn't be doing this. This sucks, but you know.
A friend of his made him a present.
No. Yeah, no, that's right? Not mean. I love that present. God damn it. So.
That is a dick thing to do.
God damn it!
Jess, if you make him a gift,
no!
He'll hate it. Hates
that,
homemade
stuff.
That.
I love every present ever. I remember I was hanging out with this girl at the time. It was kind of just, you know, going a direction. Not really. I was just there.
Fuck, dude. Where is this going?
But no, it's actually not as bad as that. Okay, so we're hanging out, and then her roommate was there with her friend, so it was like three girls, and I knew like nothing was gonna go on, but in my mind I'm like, I don't want anyone else to invade this.
What?
Yeah,
this 12 scoops.
I don't want anything, king lion man. I don't want anything else intrude. I don't want any
don't
more
F
friends
with my pride.
I don't want any more my friends. I don't want any more. I don't want nothing. This is great right here. This ratio's good. This is good company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the girl's roommate was on the computer chit chatting, whatever. I am ing or AOL chatting or whatever. And then,
gotcha.
And then she basically kind of, and then she had just turned over and goes, hey, do you know a guy named so-and-so? It was a guy.
You have mail.
And then I was like, yeah, I know that guy. I go to school with him. Oh, well, cool. I just was talking about with this guy online, and this guy, I was like, mentioned your name, and then he was like, oh, he knows you. And I was like, oh, cool, whatever. And then I was going to invite him over. And I, so the mean thing,
yep.
The mean thing that I did was that I totally just shit talked this dude.
Yeah.
Oh, totally, this guy.
Don't all jest.
No.
No, what I'm saying is that's not mean. The all jest was all jest. That's not mean.
Yeah.
You know?
No. I felt
all
bad.
All is fair and
I felt love bad and foursome. Because I was talking shit about this dude. It's like, oh, like, you know, he's kind of just. He's kind of weird, and he's clingy, and all this stuff. Just based off all these, like...
And he's got a dick, and I don't want him here.
Exactly. That was exactly what it was.
The dick-to-puss ratio was really good.
I didn't want this. I didn't want the company. I didn't want the ratio to be changed. Right, right. And I totally shit-talked this guy. And is everything that the conversation... That they're talking about guys, like, I like when guys do this, or like, guys creep me out when they blah, blah, blah. So all these, like... clues like, oh, they wouldn't like this.
Yeah, he totally does.
He totally
that.
Does all that he shit did that you're three saying times. And like totally shit talked him. Like totally shit talked him or whatever. And then I did see him like at school and shit, and he was kind of like, oh, like, you know, no, because nothing happened.
Yeah. Did you? Nothing happened?
Nothing happened.
You didn't,
yeah.
You didn't have Smash Browns?
No, yeah, no, not that night anyway.
Damn,
so.
Smash Burger?
There was no Smash Burgering. There's no Smash Patty. No.
Nothing.
Finger
nothing.
Blasted.
There's no finger blasted.
No Smash Potatoes?
No Smash Potatoes. Just fuck. Footsies. That's all it is.
Oh.
Footsies?
No.
Oh.
The most disappointed.
No.
Yes, yes. You ruined a guy's reputation for footsies.
Got a little ground beefing though, right?
I got a little ground beefing.
I got some ground beefing.
Yeah.
Ground beefing.
Yeah.
Is that what we're calling footsies?
What if like you're just into rubbing your feet into women's bellies?
That's ground beefing. That falls under the ground beefing line. So footsies
was
is
footsies,
ground
but
beefing.
Like, it wasn't just footsies. It was foots like just nice foots everywhere.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. So it was worth it. Fuck that guy. But I kind of at the time.
Everywhere?
At the time,
you got an FJ?
Did you get an FJ?
On close FJ? On close FJ?
Oh, okay. A Mormon FJ.
A Mormon FJ.
A Mormon.
That sounds like a drink you order from a bar. Yeah, give me a Mormon FJ.
There's no sugar in it.
But I felt really bad. Like
socks and jeans, nope. Dude.
As I was shitting on this guy. And it wasn't like an acquaintance. Like I didn't know
wait,
it was like
literally?
A guy. Like when
you,
I mean,
when you say it like that.
Yeah, when I was dumping on this guy.
So I'm playing with
him. Warm enough, Jack.
Dumping on this guy.
So I'm playing with these chicks' feet while I'm shitting on this guy.
This high school party got really kinky really fast.
I felt really bad because I just threw that guy under the bus and whatever little reputation they had chatting online or whatever, because it wasn't like they were acquaintances online, but they hadn't met yet. So I ensured that they never met ever.
That's okay.
So, maybe she really likes bad boys though, and you just totally upped his
married.
Yeah.
Now probably. She's giving him FJs like crazy.
Yeah. But it was I kinda felt bad. I think I had to
handy petty.
I had to like wonder like what would be funny to tell that I was mean, and I think that's it. Because as a kid, I was never really mean.
There's nothing mean about someone home like you know, making you a gift and you just shitting on it.
I never shit on anyone's gift. God damn it.
Not me. Regan, I'm sure you got a lot.
I was the worst human being ever when I was in eighth grade. I can look back and just say I was
a
awful human. It wasn't that I was kind of bully.
Did you have the part in the middle haircut?
What did I have? Right after mullet. Seventh grade was mullet. And it's sort of just, I don't know, stupid. I look dumb. Anyway, horrible human being. Eighth grade algebra class. I through slow, water torture like killing. Like I just destroyed my algebra teacher. This poor girl, Mrs. Qualls. I'm looking back. She was probably a young teacher, like first year.
GTF.
I would. Whenever she'd turn her back, like I would like make people laugh, but. I'd like throw things. I used to make spitballs and put them all over the back of the class, and she would never know who did it. And I would just every day, and no one ever ratted me out.
They're afraid of you.
hopefully. And I remember she just broke down and cried one day in class. And as an eighth grade kid, you're like, ha, that's great. That's
made
great.
Made your teacher cry, yeah.
And looking back, I'm like, oh, my God. Like, I should have been
trying to get through life.
I would have punched myself in the face. Like, I would have punched my – I'd be like, well, dude, cut it out. You're a dick. Like,
but do you have, like, students like that now?
I don't. I luckily work with great kids. I work with kids that come to me for help. So I work with kids that are motivated and want to do good stuff with their life. So that's why I like not being an actual teacher, is because when you're a teacher, you're in 30, you got 30 kids in your class. 20 of them want to be there. 5 of them don't really want to be there, and 5 wish they were anywhere else. Yeah, right. And you can't do anything about it. And those 5 that want to be anywhere else can ruin it for the entire class, can ruin it for everything. So that's one. Part 2, sophomore year in high school, it was prank war. They start fun. Toilet paper, burning bags of poop, old school kind of stuff like that. We collected all of the garbage bags full of leaves from around the neighborhood and threw them on our buddy's front yard, ripping up porn mags and throwing them into, like, the mailbox so that your parents find them, stuff like that. Vaseline under the handles of their friends' cars so it slips, and then you tape porn on their cars, all sorts of good stuff. Well, I had an idea once.
All great ideas already.
Yeah. So when I was younger, like a freshman, I liked Happy Faces for some reason. My mom bought me about 300 Happy Face stickers, these little stickers that were Happy Face stickers. And then I just had them. I never used them. And my buddy, Nick, he had this like newish sort of truck. And I thought, hey, you know what'd be funny? Let's put all these stickers on his truck. It'll be hilarious because it'll take forever to take him off. So we all went to his house at night, put on hundreds of stickers all over this dude's
truck. Right on the paint.
So took off. We thought it was hilarious. And then he called us all. He was like, who the hell did that? And we're like, I got you, man. He's like, no, guys, these aren't coming off. Like, they would leave that white residue, like, really bad to where – he ended up having to get a new paint job on the truck, and we all felt really bad. I don't know how we got away with not having to pitch in money, because the parents
you
knew
didn't
it.
Pitch in
no,
money?
No, we didn't. The parents just did it, so I have no idea. But what was great is afterwards, like months later, after, if you looked in his wheel wells of the truck, there were still Happy Face stickers in there. And we're like, yeah, I remember that. And we'd get pissed off. But I felt so, so genuinely bad.
He probably didn't rat you to his parents. He probably just
– some kids like went and pranked us.
Pranked him. And so, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I felt really bad because everybody went with the idea, but it was my idea. I didn't do it myself. It was me and a couple other dudes that put all the stickers on, but yeah.
But at least they were Happy Faces.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, stuff. Chill
like
out.
Big old, like, I'm picturing like a big old game of like Happy Minesweeper. You know what I mean? Like, just like a bunch of circles that you gotta, and they all lead to blowing up.
You should have left it, dude. That's totally cool.
No, it wasn't.
It'd be like a Joe Boxer truck.
Yeah.
Because once you start trying to peel off like 2 of them, it just leaves white patches. And then you're, poor guy. Sorry.
What are you, Aaron?
I can't think of only one.
Yeah.
So, it's very funny that this kind of topic came up, because I haven't talked about this with any of you guys. But like for the last couple of years, I've actually been compiling stories, and I've been writing what could be a one-man show, which is nothing but public apologies. Like the whole show is nothing but, I once did this
nice
to this person.
Oh, wow.
This is my opportunity to say, I am sorry.
Wow.
I am sorry about this. Wow. So when I think about like being mean, I think about, like, present day, I think about sometimes how I interact with my kids just, like, out of frustration. And it's, like, when I'm just out of patience,
yeah.
You know, where it's just, like, we've gone over this. This is what I've asked. I haven't changed my expectations. I've made what I've asked very clear. And I'm not talking about silly stuff, but it can get to silly stuff. But, like, finally losing it, you know, like, if he says something really nasty to his mom or something like that, and then I get all mad, I say something, then she gets all mad at me for yelling. Yeah.
And I'm just defending you.
And it, yeah, but it's like, it's a spiral of like, just like anger and whatever. And there's a lot of guilt. There's a lot of guilt that comes with it. So I think of a lot of examples from school, times where I thought that I was being bullied and I retaliated, and realizing that I wasn't, in hindsight, maybe I wasn't being bullied. I was only perceiving that I was being left out or made fun of, and realizing that I was the dick. Do you know what I mean?
That's a sucky feeling.
You know, like where like, oh, so-and-so is saying something, but she made me feel bad about it, so I'm going to say something that's going to be really out of proportion. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And she's going to be like, where did this come from? And then fast forward all these years later, and we're friends on Facebook, but I'm not going to bring shit up. You know, but, you know, she likes my posts, and I'm like, oh, you don't remember that dick thing I said?
Yes.
But there's several examples. You want to talk about, like, on accident, like realizing that you said something that was kind of racist that you didn't realize was racist. And you're like, oh, my God, I'm an asshole. I'm thinking about one specific thing where being mean for no reason whatsoever. I remember camp, summer camp. There was like an age between, I can't remember, maybe third grade, fourth grade, or fourth grade, fifth grade, where like it seemed like everybody was pairing up with somebody. You know, like people were going with each other.
Oh,
do you know what I mean? Like, and I don't even know what that means at that age, like holding hands, maybe they were kissing, you know. So, but we're talking about 9, 10 years old, which is nothing, right? Right. And I'm thinking about my kid going through that now. I'm like, that's
fuck that shit.
But I remember liking, I keep bugging my kid. I'm like, so are there any girls that you, you know, and it's like, oh no. So it's not even on his radar. But I remember being like in first grade and like being like kind of like into this chick from my class.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Alita Alonzo, dude. What's up?
We talked about the past podcast about when that age when we all started thinking girls were cute, and it was young. Like, it was.
But, you know, I remember that, but I didn't think about like going with somebody or asking somebody to do it. And the thing is, I also like those people seem to go with each other. Like there was like a popular group, like these guys could get the girls, and I'm just going to like, even, I remember having that defeatist attitude even at that young age going like, well, not me, I'm whatever.
Right, I'm like, try to zip up this Adidas jacket as much as I can.
So I vividly remember, because I went to this summer camp that was like a day camp, you know, you went out there for the day, you hung out by the lake, but you were home at night, right? And then every few weeks we'd go out on like a camping trip. You'd go out to a real lake. You'd be away from home. You'd sleep with a sleeping bag. And those were the nights that you really wanted to be going with somebody,
because
you could spin the bottle. You could go off, you know, holding hands or all that kind
straight
of stuff.
Straight up jam.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I remember
Mormon FJ.
That wasn't even on my radar either at that time.
Right.
So it was the morning of one of those big trips, and we're at the big community center, and everybody's kind of separating into their groups, and this guy's going with that girl, and this guy's going with that girl, and this really popular guy's going out with that pretty girl, and I'm like, oh. And then it was one of those things where it's like I wasn't even really into any one particular girl other than maybe like the one or two, and they were already spoken for.
Yeah.
But the girls from this group come over to the guys from this group, and they go, you know, you should probably ask so-and-so, and she'll go and say yes. And I'm like, I hadn't even thought about her in that way, but yeah, maybe, I guess. Mm-hmm. That's cool. And then I didn't even know what that meant, but walking over and going, hey, will you go with me, whatever? And she goes, yes. And then it became this whole thing of like, yay, another one. Do you know what I mean? Like, all of a sudden, the whole group was like, we've got another couple. Do you know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah, they're setting you guys up.
But it was just like they were happy for her, they were happy for me, but they were like, hey, Aaron is going with so-and-so, Aaron, whatever. And in hindsight, I know what it was. It was a celebration of we got another couple together.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, I saw it as, what the hell's wrong with her? Why are they making a big deal?
No.
Why are they making fun of me for being with her? Like, I perceived it all wrong.
Yeah.
So here comes the time to get on the bus to go out to the big lake. It's going to be a long trip, right? And all the buddies are in the back of the bus. They've got their girls. Everybody's hanging out and talking. And I'm like, what did I just get myself into?
No.
And I'm sitting with my buddy. I'm not sitting with the girl.
Oh,
right. Okay. And everybody on the bus is like, why aren't you going to go sit with her? Why aren't you? And the whole time I thought, again, this is a young kid's mind who doesn't know what he's thinking, doesn't know what's going on, doesn't know what the story really is. Going, why are they so hell-bent on getting me to go with this girl that I don't like? Like, I'd I'd gone from not really knowing this girl to I really don't like this girl after we were already going together. Yeah. You know what I mean? And so we're sitting on the bus.
Normal.
But do you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. And so her friend, this is all on the bus ride out the yeah. park, comes over, is like, hey, why are you going to go sit with my friend? No, whatever. And I remember just shouting, because I don't like you and you're ugly and you're like, I just shouted like I was so angry at everybody. And then I just like sat down and I didn't feel good about it then. And I think back to it now and I'm like, why the hell would that child do that? Why the hell would that kid? What kind of insecurities was he going through that he felt the need to shout that out to everybody? And I think about her sitting in her seat like, here's this guy and he's asked me and I don't know, maybe. And, and now he's shouting at me on the bus that I'm ugly. What the fuck? And so that's going. If you think no one wants to play spin to the bottle with you when you're out there in the lake anyway, try shouting that shit on a whole bus full of her friends. You know
so
what
that,
I mean?
So like, that trip was not good.
That wasn't a good trip. And, you know, I felt so bad. I still do. I feel so bad about doing that because I know what it's like to feel rejected. And I know what it's like for somebody to say something nasty to you. And there have been a handful of those moments in my life where I was that guy. I was the guy who said it. But and it's not to rationalize. You know, when you think about a bully and you're like, well, you know, they're only doing that because they don't have whatever at home.
Hurt people,
that kind of thing. And I realized by that very definition, I was the bully in those situations where I was hurt. I felt like, and again, it was perceived.
Right.
It may not even been a real setup. It may not have been whatever. But I saw the situation as being, oh, they're making fun of me. Or they're going to continue to make fun of me. Or this isn't the girl I wanted, so I'm going to be mad because I didn't get the girl that I did want. Man. So I'm going to take it out on everybody. I'm going to take it out on her. And I just end up being just a lonely, miserable son of a bitch, you know?
And then when we have her on the podcast and she tells the story, she's going to be, oh, there is this dick who actually asked me out. And then he started yelling about me being ugly. But, yeah, I can't look at you in the fucking eyes. Aaron.
She was a child too.
So it's
I don't know, man.
Now let me
get Aaron.
Don't
it's awkwardness.
Don't even. Can I tell you about a mean moment that I was actually proud of?
Yes.
All right. So here's what happened. Where we fast forward several years, and I'm working in a restaurant. And I'm really wanting to be a really good waiter. And it's frustrating because I've been, you know, working in a few restaurants at that point. And it seemed like no matter what I did, I couldn't really make my tips go up. And I felt like I was doing everything right, you know, and I was being attentive and I was being courteous and clean. And I was.
Did you try being an attractive girl?
I did not.
That usually works.
I thought about it. But
it works.
But like I would run my food.
It does.
I would run my food and I would run other people's food and
oh wow.
And then nobody would run my food if I was busy. And like I felt like I would get weeded a lot, you know, and like I wonder if I go back and knowing what I know now if I'd be any better at it, but I don't want to do it now. But
of course.
But anyway, I remember, you know, it just being way more intense than it needed to be. And I remember there was one assistant manager that was just like a total dick. You know, and he was one of these guys that just like followed you around and he would ask the table, so how's so-and-so doing? How's Aaron doing? How's whatever? And it didn't come across as like, hey, is everybody doing all right? You guys having a good time tonight? Hey, you know, Aaron, blah, 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 blah. It always felt like he was checking up on you. It always felt like whatever. And I really hated him for a number of reasons. I hated him for that, but I hated him for just the kind of guy he was, the things that he would say. And like I said, I was always stressed out anyway, and I was just trying to deal with all sorts of things. And then the general manager was nice most of the time, but then every now and then he'd piss me off and, you know, whatever. And I remember things got really heated, you know, like between me and this. I would go to my tables and I go, look, you guys are going to have an awesome night tonight. I'm going to wait on you, whatever you want. I'm going to bring it to you, smile on my face. There's going to be a guy who's going to be wearing a Scooby-Doo tie, bald. He's an asshole. If he comes up and he asks you about how your night's going, will you do me a favor? Will you tell him that everything's great?
Yeah.
Food came out great. Our service is wonderful.
but sir, would you please stop bothering my family? We're trying to have a nice dinner. Could you please? I'd get every single table to do that just because I was so tired of him checking up on us. And they would do it. They loved playing along. That's the great. Tables loved it.
I would have totally done it.
Oh, and I would have caused problems.
And then there would be other moments that, like, he would come to me with that, and I would yell at him about that and other things. Like, things really got heated to the point where now I'm in the office, and I'm having to have a sit-down with the general manager and this guy. Like, what is the issue? Yeah. And I'm like, this is my problem. I'm trying to wait tables, and nobody's helping me out. I'm getting weeded all the time. When I ask for help, you're telling me to suck it up. All right. I'm tired of being a team player. I'm tired of the tips not going up. And I'm tired. And I said some stuff like, not like angrily or whatever, but I'm just like, you know, it feels like everybody else is just doing the minimum. Like I had one of those kind of complexes where I'm whatever. And then, the assistant manager goes, and what's the problem with me? Why do you have to have a problem? Blah, blah, blah. He starts giving me all this, you know, shit. And then, this is only, I think it's partially true. I think it's kind of true, but I remember I laid into him in front of the GM because you said this and you're doing this and this. Plus, when you got here, you told me that the GM didn't know what the fuck he was doing.
Oh, my God.
You told me that this place was chaotic and that you were going to fix things from day one. And I've been waiting. I've been waiting for you to finally put your fucking money where your mouth is because all you do is just – and I just went off and off. And all of a sudden, the GM, he looks at me and he goes, Aaron – you give us a few minutes, please.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, thank you. Thank you. Like, I just left that office.
And please tell me that the whole time you were dressed like...
just about to fucking say
like
that.
Ghostbusters. Like, no. Yeah, like a girl, like He-Man.
This was that restaurant.
No, I was also going to say, did you channel this into Adidas jumpsuit performance?
Yes.
Years down the road.
Yes.
Yeah.
You gonna fuck with me? I'm gonna burn this whole motherfucker down. You know, it was totally. But he deserved it. He was an asshole.
I remember when I was
Scooby Doo tie.
I'm an asshole. Some tables really got into it. Would you leave us the fuck alone?
Right? Oh,
trying to have a nice meal here. Yeah. All right.
I would have talked the kids into going. He's back and like crying and like, look what you did.
No, I will not go to the bathroom with you. Stop asking.
Did you just ask my daughter to go to the bathroom?
Why are you looking at my daughter like that?
I heard
he keeps looking at me. He took a picture when you heard looking.
That's it right there.
That's marvelous.
That fucking took a picture of my daughter.
That wins.
No, I just.
Pull your phone out.
My daughter's lying.
You deleted it.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That wins.
Yeah. Get your. It's horrible. When I worked at Chili's, we used to be a host, so you have to sit the tables. And one day, just every serve was like, don't sit me with old people. Don't sit me with kids. Don't sit me with blah, blah, blah. So I got a marker, and I just wrote the letters Y-O-U on my hand, like you. And any time for the rest of that day that they'd come up, I'd pretend that my hand was talking, like, me, 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 me. And I go, shut up, to the hand. And I'd just look at them, and I'd stare, and then they'd just walk away. And I did this, like... 3 or 4 people, because they'd be like, blah, 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 blah. And I'd look at the hand and go, don't see me with old people. Don't see me with kids. Shut up! And I just stare at them, because I wouldn't be yelling at them. I'd be yelling at my hand that says you on it.
Yeah.
And they'd walk away. And then one time I did it, and my manager caught me, and I was like, oh, and he just looked at me, smiled, he like shook his head, and I was like, yeah, right. Because stop complaining. It's a bunch of crap. Anyway.
Suck it up.
All right, let's see. Facebook answers. Michael Riojas says, a story I'm not particularly proud of, but I hated a coworker.
We shouldn't be proud of these. That's why we're talking about them, right? Mean moments. You're atoning.
We are really sad.
The end result was worth it, but you know what? I'm not ashamed. I'm not, you know what?
Jess is proud of his.
I'm not proud
Jess
of him.
Is all happy he's about the there. Mormon FJ.
You know.
Anyway, Michael Rojas says, I hated a coworker so much that in an early day haze, I slashed his tire.
The sound
of the tire letting air out woke me up and told me this was a bad idea in one stroke. Never saw the guy's reaction because I left early and was never caught. Man.
So if you have a foot fetish, would you be a pedophile?
Technically.
Yeah, right?
Is that the...
If I ped a
pedophile.
Or a toe-mosexual.
Wow.
There it is.
Yeah, corn star. Woo!
porn star.
All right. Porn star hip hop.
Bunny and Blossom.
Wow. Alonzo Cantu says, 5 years old. At a block party, another kid is bullying a girl. While Bully was on the swing set, I come up behind him with a chair and threw it at his back while he was coming back down from a nice high swing. The chair stalled the swing and threw him off his seat into the fence right behind him.
Ooh.
I think I said something like, that's what you get or something. Actually, looking back on it, I'm totally Batman that party.
It's a very WWF move there, though. Nice. Strip chair to the back.
That's a good thing. That's good. Alfie Chavez says, I threw potato salad from Bill Miller's at a kid sitting on the side of the road fixing his bike.
Oh.
They gave it to us for free because we showed up right before closing time. And we weren't going to eat it. Sorry, kid. I apologize. If it makes anything better, I was a kid also.
You should have took that potato salad and made an omelet out of it. What's wrong with you? Oh, throwing at kids. What's wrong with you?
Potato salad omelet. It's fucking gross.
They have hash browns. And they don't need it.
But they didn't offer the hash browns because the hash browns are so good they obviously don't have any left over.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Justin Wilcoxon says, some guy accidentally dropped some potato salad out of his car all over me one time. I ate it all, and I didn't even try to find out who the owner was. That's great. He says, I'm sorry I ate all your potato salad, whoever you are. I thought about making a sign saying, found potato salad, answers to delicious. But I didn't. I ate it all.
That's lovely.
Travis K says, one day in high school, a kid asked who wanted to hang out for lunch. I blurted my usual response of, your mom.
Yep.
What I didn't know is that his mom died 2 weeks earlier.
Of course, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's the best.
There was also a time when I broke up with a girl on her mom's birthday. Pretty sure that going to have a special ring in hell. Yeah. Yeah, I remember after a buddy of mine's dad died, we were out at McDonald's. I walked in, and I was like, hey, and nobody was, like, laughing. I was like, hey, who died? And I was like, oh, that's a
fuck.
Yeah, I didn't know. Just like Travis didn't know.
Going back to the restaurant, the whole point was that you were trying to be funny while you were waiting tables, and you were trying to be silly.
Yes.
And sometimes things got, you know, inappropriate or whatever. But speaking of that, we had one big table. People were sitting right outside this little booth area. There was like a big crutch. Okay.
Okay.
So one of the waiters who thought he was being funny, thought he was being edgy, holds up the crutch and like, hey, where's the, you know, it says cripple. Where's a cripple at? There was a guy, not like with a sprained ankle, not with like a busted foot, missing a leg.
Ooh.
Missing a leg.
And he called him a cripple.
Yes. Same guy. There was a little kid who was walking around. You know, sometimes, you know, little kids will pull their arms in to their sleeves and just kind of like stay
nubby
warm
arm,
or whatever.
Yeah.
And so there'd be like a sleeve like hanging loose.
No.
And this grabbed the sleeve. Like, so what's going on? Was like, the kid doesn't have an arm. Grabbing a sleeve. Okay, so I want to go back to one more. I'm so sorry.
All right.
This is unintentional. Okay.
Amputee.
All right, so. In that same vein, this is that costumed place where everybody was in costume, okay?
Right.
So I was wearing a Ghostbuster outfit once, and I was waiting tables. I was a Killer Bee one time. There was one time I thought, you know what? It'd be really cool to be Captain Hook, be a pirate, like a big, elaborate pirate. Man. How do you wait tables as Captain Hook, though? True. I don't know. It's kind of tricky, but thought it all out. My girlfriend, now my wife, she worked there.
Who was she?
She was Tinkerbell. Tinkerbell, Captain Hook.
Captain Hook. There
it is. I like it. I like it.
So, you're still rocking those outfits?
Yeah.
So
she was like, well, my mom sews and we can make some. So I waited forever for like this new uniform, this outfit. And so we got like the big tri-corner hat and I've got like this mustache and the big hair and I've got this pirate coat that she's making me out of like this like upholstery. Like it looks nice. Like this beautifully embroidered whatever.
Were you wearing this when you cussed out the manager?
No.
Oh man.
Either way, that's what I'm envisioning though.
I think I may have been in the Killer Bee, which makes it even better.
Yeah.
She got like the Nintendo's dangling.
One more thing, you motherfucker.
So I've been waiting and waiting and waiting for this thing to be completed. I've got the buckles on the shoes. I've got the frill on the, you know, the sleeves.
Yeah.
I've got the hook figured out to where I can wear this hook,
mm-hmm.
right? But then when I'm waiting tables, it comes off on a hinge.
Right.
And it's got the lace there so I can hold a tray. and nobody can really tell. Yeah. I bring the tray down. I can serve food. I can put the hook back, and it all works out. I've been waiting to debut this stupid costume forever, and I finally have it, and it looks glorious. This isn't like a costume straight out of a plastic bag at a costume shop. We want to do this thing right, right? Well, it's also the same night of a new hostess. As I'm introducing myself, she's all dressed up as like some evil queen or whatever. Like, I'm showing off this hook that I've got, like, oh, look how you are. And come to find out that she does not have her left hand.
Yes.
So, of course. I do remember that moment. Just, well, look what I got. Well, not really. I mean, okay, I have a hand off and I can whatever.
I could still manage to work. Decent. Wow.
Oh.
That's just a coincidental mean moment. Yes. But that, okay. I'm sorry.
Did you get rid? No, did you keep wearing the costume, or did you nix the costume just because of that?
Not because of that, but, you know, it was really hot, and it was hard to wait tables in it.
And what was she?
She was like an evil queen. She just,
you know, with scary, a hook?
No, with a
she didn't have
nub.
A hook. She just didn't have a...
She had a nub. She had a scary nub evil witch hand.
Yeah, that would have freaked me out.
Yeah, if I was,
don't touch
just like,
me.
Ooh, phantom hand. Like,
come this way to your seats.
Like, eat this apple. Wait, no. Wait, eat this apple.
Just put a fake hand on it and then like rip it off. There's all sorts of stuff.
Shake hands with somebody. Hand falls off, right?
All right, I got it.
Yeah.
Oh, no. That's called a Jehovah's Witness HJ.
JW?
JWHJ.
JWHJ.
Because she's knocking.
And nobody's answering.
Get it, man?
I don't want to. I don't want to get it.
Police spot.
Please, bye.
Thank you for your cooperation.
All right. Hold on. Okay. Johnson Cooper says, once or twice I've gotten so mad that I unleash a hailstorm of truth or magnify someone's flaws to their face. It's a quick way to lose a friend. Mm. Stacy Medina says, I was a bully in middle school. I picked on other girls for no reason whatsoever. That's a bully.
Because you're better than them. So there you go. Why, you know?
Sean Jansen said, picked on a very good friend's walk / limp. She got the last laugh because she's a Canadian now.
What? Is that like
that's the rainbow over the hill?
Yeah, she's Canadian now.
She's Canadian now.
She wins.
So no, she's got free health care to take care of a limp.
Oh, I get it.
She wins. Shaggy from Poodle Slam says, when I was 16, I was sitting in a Jack in the Box parking lot with friends when Scott Baio's a la Charles in Charge Chachi drives up in a red convertible, so actually Scott Baio, and asked for directions to the freeway, which was 1 mile to his left. We sent him the opposite direction down Balboa Peninsula at rush hour, costing him at least one, maybe 2 hours of his life. His career was never the same after that day. Sticking it to Scott Baio, that's all right. Andrew Thomas says, in sixth grade, several kids and I convinced two of the less popular kids to fight for our amusement during PE and recess. This lasted a couple of weeks and drew the attention of the boys in the seventh and eighth grade. It got so big that the teachers and priests took notice, and we were all dragged into the church to have a discussion about bullying. Jeez. I don't think I ever got in trouble. The ironic thing about being lectured by hard drinking and smoking priests about morality is that he was embezzling money from the church and the school the entire time.
Of course.
You're not a bully because of that.
It's okay now. Charles Gomez says, baby powder in the AC vents and set to high for a high school buddy's car. Took weeks to clean out.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
shit.
All right,
Charles Gomez. Sock it to them in their cars.
Gabriel, once I walked out to the high school parking lot to see that somebody had used whiteout to write bumblefuck on the back of my car on the paint.
That's a good one.
Bumblefuck.
And this is years before I wore the Killer Bee costume.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
It wasn't
had
in any
nothing
response.
To do with it. Wow.
No, but, you know, messing with another person's car.
Yeah, that sucks.
Low.
Ugh.
Gabriel Diaz says, I threw a freshly sharpened pencil into a kid's eye in second grade.
Ooh. Oh, wow. What?
Yeah.
You know, I think it was the last time I was here. Yeah. We were talking about our personal views of hell. I don't know if you guys remember that. You guys remember that movie Flatliners?
Yeah.
I think that that's what it is. I think that you're
you have to watch Flatliners for eternity.
Flatliners. You have to watch Keeper.
Kevin Roberts
to get through that implausible plot over and over.
I believe, like, those moments where there's the kids were shouting at you, that idea that you have to relive these moments, these moments that you're not happy with, those moments where you cause some shit, the moments that
that's hell.
Yeah, you gotta, or just middle school in general. Like, just forever. Oh, yeah. Just middle school, like, figuring things out. And being mean and having mean things happen to you.
Yeah, oversized shirts.
And over. And over.
Feathered hair. Mullet. Tapered legs.
Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah. You're finger blasting chicks in eighth grade, right? Like,
no,
that was when Poe was going on and they liked you, right?
I did not get finger blasted.
Oh, man.
You didn't get finger blasted?
I didn't get finger blasted.
Good, man.
That's how I switched the
That's called a Catholic, Catholic butt job. What? Wow. So, yeah, man.
No chicks got pregnant.
Yeah, so, you know, teach your kids not to be mean by being mean to them. And
that's how that works.
I think so.
You be mean to them, like, do unto others as they would do unto you, except for your kids.
A tooth for the truth, man. Parenting, fuck it.
All right, and finally for my segment called Hey, That's Not Funny, where we talk about not funny stuff. We're going to get through this real quick, talking about this apparently, they just found two nearby quasars where there's actually two different black holes, a dynamic duo of twin black holes that is quite close to Earth. I mean, it's 600 million light years, but, you know, in the universe sort of thing, it's kind of close to Earth. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it's just got a kind of cool thing that they just found recently about these two giant black holes that are sitting next to each other and just kind of all the crazy astronomical things that are going around and sort of it's doubly compressing and heating and producing crazy amounts of radiation that we've never seen before in the history of whatever. Anyway, you can look it up. Look it up if you want. It's these two black holes next to each other. They're calling it a dynamic duo of black holes. We're just going to skip right to my question. We're talking about duos. So my question is, what is or who is your favorite duo of all time, music, acting, sports, or whatever. I'm going to jump right into it right now. And I thought about this question. I was like, what duo has brought me more joy than any other duo out there? And I want to say it is Mr. Show with Bob and Dave.
Good for you.
Man, I mean, just looking back at how awesome those two guys were and all the stuff they did as far as sketch comedy and just their style of humor and how it influenced me and us and just everything that we do. I just loved those two guys doing all sorts of stuff. It's just, they're amazing. They still are. And I think they're going to be doing another show.
It's going to Netflix.
Yeah. It's going to be going straight to Netflix. Super excited about that. Can't wait to see that kind of stuff. It's been great to see them both go on to do other amazing things. Cause you just kind of always see them as Bob and Dave. And now he's got friggin' Better Call Saul and all that stuff. And good Lord, what's his name? David Cross has been on everything. Yeah,
Pitch Perfect 2.
Yeah. Yeah. Wait, wasn't he in a Chipmunks movie?
Both of them.
Oh, both Chipmunks.
Modern Family.
No, yeah. He's been Arrested Development. He's been all over the place. It's awesome.
Chipmunks movie, guys.
Okay, sorry. Chipmunks movie. Bob and Dave. There's a bunch of other ones out there. Second goes to the Black Keys. I really like them. I just like them because they started off, it was just two dudes that just jammed out and they're amazing. I've seen them live a couple of times. And this last time, they brought out other guys to come play with them. And I was like, that sucks. Go back to just you guys playing by yourselves. And then when they just played by themselves, they were just so much better. I just really like them.
I saw them in a smaller venue, like right before it got really, really big.
Ooh.
With the Brothers album. And all of a sudden, they're playing huge arenas.
Yeah.
And my friend had turned me on to them. So it's like I had a couple of albums already, really, really liked them, loved going to the concert. And then they were just hanging out. Like, and I kicked myself for like not realizing how big they were about to be and like going to go hang out.
Yeah.
You know, maybe get a picture. I love that there, and I've talked to my friend about this too. It's like that Dan had a solo project. Do you know what I mean? Like there's the Black Keys and then
minus one.
So but it was just like they're already only two.
Yeah.
And so the idea of like, hey, I'm ready to put some more music out there. Oh, cool. When do we want to? No, sorry. It's just some things I think I need to do without the rest of the band.
Yeah.
Like with the rest of the, it's just me.
You guys are dragging me down.
You guys are dragging me down.
It's just me, man.
Just one dude.
But yeah, there you go. Bob and Dave.
Well, That was my original answer.
Yeah, I was wondering.
They were like you said, they're the reason why I started doing comedy, sketch comedy in particular, and why I wanted to do that above stand up. But my second answer, it's kind of an easy one, but if I came up with something more creative and original, me and my wife. I try to get creative with it, but sorry, it's not the case. Cheech and Chong.
All right.
They're up there with Bob and David, with the exception that I've liked Cheech and Chong longer. The dynamic of them two, I thought was great. The fact that it wasn't perfect. The fact that it fizzled. The fact that the Corsican Brothers exists.
Love the Corsican Brothers.
Do you love the Corsican Brothers?
Don't be a stupid fooker.
Yeah. I appreciate what Tommy Chong created, and I can also appreciate, to your point about the Black Keys, Cheech going, you know what? I'm good, right? Because Tommy has been quoted as saying that Born in East L.A. Was the final Cheech and Chong movie that he just wasn't involved in. Yeah, it was supposed to be Tommy Chong was supposed to play Daniel Stern's character, from what I understand. Yeah, and then Cheech just went on and produced it himself. I mean, he wrote the whole thing himself and just, you know, X'd him out of it, and that's why they broke up, why there was like ill feelings towards each other. Their, you know, reunion was okay, and we were lucky enough, me and Regan, to go see them. We were lucky enough to meet them, which was a goal as a duo, you know, that they're a huge influence on us. And their dynamic was so good. They still have a scene from my favorite movie is Next Movie, is my favorite movie with Cousin Red. But my favorite scene, it's a standalone scene, you don't have to watch the movie, is when Chong gets pissed from his sister's house and has that bag of coke and soap, and he goes, here, drink this, and it's the piss, and he freaks out, and then he's like, I'm gonna die, and he's like, oh, don't worry about that, here, drink this, and he does it twice. It's the fucking funniest shit in the world, and it gets me every single time. And so you can't get better than Cheech and Chong for me.
Back to Pee Wee Herman again.
Yeah.
From earlier, one of my favorite lines in the movie is that, look, I think they're Iranians.
I think they're Iranians. I'm going to turn this glass into a dick. That's my favorite line of the movie.
My favorite duo, there's so many, but I think, like,
yeah, there's a lot.
There's a lot, but my favorite duo when it comes, I guess, to movies is Merton Riggs from the Lethal Weapon movies.
All right.
Because
straight up,
just straight up, because of just how, like, it is nostalgia, but it is also like those movies still stick to me. Like, I still enjoy them. I like the whole vibe of how they were a family.
Yeah.
Like how they joined together and they became best friends, but not only that, they were family. And then Murtaugh's family, like, became like Riggs's family. They all liked him like an uncle, and like, I just really connect with like that. Like, I just love, like, early on, I've always liked those movies a lot. And watching Part 4 somewhat recently, I still liked it. I was like, wow, I'm still liking this. It's, aside from the fact this is like incredibly racist towards Chinese people,
yeah,
but still very enjoyable, still very cool, and
you can
very
still
much
be racist there. Towards them.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, come on. and also, music-wise, one of my favorite duos, if not all of all times, of course, They Might Be Giants, is the Two Johns.
Nice.
Yeah, because of just how, you know, New York band, two guys starting themselves, doing clubs, doing small venues, creating music on their own, you know, laying down pre-recorded tracks or synth beats or whatever, and then performing on top of that, and then taking it to all kinds of new levels and becoming just, I don't know, like creating something out of that, just two guys and then becoming what they did was just like really awesome. And the fact that they have a band of Dans, which is really cool. It's two Johns and a bunch of Dans. So I love me some They Might Be Giants.
Nice.
But yeah, like, you know, Mr. Show, Cheech and Chong. Yeah, like all familiar answers.
Key and Peele.
Exactly.
Those are my new favorite.
They have their last episode last night, and I was watching it without realizing it was their last episode.
Ever?
Yeah, they're done.
What?
Yeah.
They broke up?
No, they're breaking up.
They're just a sketch show.
They're just showing the show.
It's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine, man.
They're like, we're done.
Have you seen the acapella one? The acapella sketch? I was saving that one specifically for you.
Yes, I have.
Oh,
my
fuck.
Dad loves that one.
The acapella sketch?
What'd you say to him?
Yeah, no. That's great.
Aaron, favorite duo?
I love that you brought up They Might Be Giants because I've liked them for a long time. I remember hearing some songs that were off of Flood back before I even knew what Flood was. And so also back before smartphones and Google and you want to look everything up, I remember vividly, it must have been middle school, my grandmother was taking me out for my birthday.
Oh, wow.
We were going to go see a movie. We saw What About Bob?
Yeah. Wow.
And then I wanted to get a tape. I didn't have a CD player. Yeah. I was like, They Might Be Giants. That's what I want. All right. And I was looking for the music, you know, from Flood, but I didn't know that it was on Flood. And I was asking the guy, nobody could help me, whatever. But I remember wanting to buy that tape. I found a tape, turned out to be the first one, the first album. And my grandmother being so sweet, like just asking the clerk, like, now there's no profanity on this, is there? And we're just like, oh, grandma, just buy me the damn tape, you know. Come on. But I love that, like, so bizarrely, like, I listened to them through that, through Flood, mm-hmm. through Apollo, like all those mm-hmm. from then on, and then just. But the fact that they wrote all this Disney music.
Yeah, they wrote children's albums.
So
yeah.
I've got children's albums, like in the car listening to Here Come the 1-2-3s and Here Come the ABCs and Here Comes Science and they wrote the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, whatever. And I'm listening to all of that with my kid going, you have no idea. You have no idea who these guys are.
How cool these guys are.
So,
you mean the 1-2-3 guys?
Yeah. I love that you brought them up.
Yeah. Flood's one of my favorite albums. Like, if there was a top 10 list, I would put that not on top 10.
But yeah, Cheech and Chong. It's hard not to think about it in comedy duo, you know, terms. Mm-hmm. You know, just because I guess where we're all at and what we're influenced by. But even before you brought up Mr. Show, I was thinking about who were my favorite people to see together. And I was thinking recently about Phil Hartman and John Lovitz.
Yeah. So, good answer.
So they're like not really like a duo, but they are.
Yeah.
You know, John Lovitz was on SNL first. He got his buddy Phil the audition, and I've seen the audition tape. They had worked out some things before to where John Lovitz was actually on it. Right? They were both at the Groundlings. I love the dynamic that the two of them had, the way that they could play off of each other. One of my favorite sketches is when Phil Hartman played the washed up movie star. And he was very much had the thin pencil mustache, this old 30s, 40s style. He had like the leather jacket and John Lovitz plays the Hollywood guy and he goes, "You're through, Johnny," like that whole whatever. Yes. Okay. And he goes, "What? What are you talking about?" Like the whole sketch is him not understanding that he's getting fired. You know? Okay. It's like, "I think you're awful. I get 20 letters a day saying the exact same. What's the word on the street?" Like, you know, whatever. So any time that they were together was, great. And I don't know why I thought about it recently, but I have like all the news radios on DVD. Mm-hmm. And so before John Lovitz was actually added to the cast because of what happened, he would show up once or twice as like a guest star in another episode. So there's an episode where Phil's character, Bill, just goes crazy. Just as nuts and goes to a mental asylum, and John Lovitz plays another guy that's in that. He's just like his buddy, like, you know, and they, you know, strike up a friendship, you know, in this mental asylum. I don't know, and I could be wrong, but I'd like to think of it this way. But there's a very poignant scene where after they've been messing with each other, he gets released. Obviously, John Lovitz's character needs to stay, but there's like this goodbye.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a very sweet goodbye. But in the context of the show, he's like saying goodbye to this crazy person that he just met, whatever. I think, and I could be wrong, that it's like the last thing that they've ever taped like together.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so to have that kind of like, you could tell that they loved each other. And so like that scene, like I like to think of that goodbye as being, you know, like their goodbye.
Yeah.
You know, so.
John Lovitz, and we were actually, it was the only time we've ever done LA. John Lovitz has a comedy club in L.A., right?
I don't think it's around anymore, but yeah.
But 2007,
yeah.
Right? Apparently, Andy Dick goes, and we almost went to the comedy club that night, and one of the few regrets of, like, I wish we did. Remember me and you were just driving around? We went to the motel where they did True Romance, and we backed out?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And apparently that night, because I read on, you know, Yahoo News or whatever the fuck at the time, Andy Dick went up and as a joke where John Lovett's table was and said, hey, you know, I gave Phil Hartman's wife her last bump of coke before she, like, and then he slams his head in the bar.
The thing he said is like, I gave him the Phil Hartman curse. I curse you the Phil Hartman curse. Like, he had this whole thing
right
out of his mind that he had said. And that's, yeah, like, I remember that being a news story where Lovitz just went off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, bashed his head into the
bar. A lot of people want to beat the shit out of Andy Dick, so I don't think anybody could fault John Lovitz.
John Lovitz, yeah. He's adorable. Acting, brilliant.
He's awesome. Ren Stimpy.
Hey!
There you go. There you go. Doug and Patty Mayonnaise.
What? All right, Facebook answers. Michael Real has says Superman and Batman. Spider-Man and the Human Torch, Tucker and Dale.
Yeah, fuck yeah, Tucker and Dale.
Peter North and Faces.
They go hand in hand. Cesar Portillo says Maverick and Goose. Alonzo Cantu says tie between Rick and Morty and Alana and Abby from Broad City.
Right on.
Travis K says, ha, taking the leap. He's referring to the movie poster. My favorite duo, though, I'd have to say it's a tie between Sean and Gus. And Chandler and Joey, mainly because that's what popped in my head. Sean and Gus.
Nick Frost and Simon Pegg. Shout out.
Yes, yes, yes.
Justin Cooper says Brack and Zorak.
Oh, yeah.
Stacy.
How did I forget about them?
Yes, wow. Yes.
Lewis and Gilbert.
Hey, yeah, Lewis and Gilbert.
That's Revenge of the Nerds.
Stacy Medina says Mac and Cheese.
That's a duo. That's eternal.
That is a dynamic duo. Mm-hmm. Charles Haig says Richard Pryor and Gene Wilder.
Nice. Good answer. Yeah.
Joseph Jackson says Mel Brooks and Madeline Kahn.
Right on.
Both of them.
Yeah.
I miss Madeline Kahn.
Yeah.
Sean Jansen says Farley and Spade.
Good one.
Shaggy says Larry and Regan, the comedic duo.
That's what I meant to say.
Yeah.
Of course.
He put hashtag first. We are the best.
We are pretty good at being us. Lethal Cortez says that would have to be Jet Li and Aaliyah.
Wow. Wow.
Oh, you cut deep, bro.
The perfect mix between urban black culture and traditional Chinese culture was just perfect. I was hoping for a Romeo Must Die 2, simply to see the Tiger Woodish type of children they would have made. Tiger Woodish. Sorry.
Yeah.
Woodish.
That's
not. I thought it was like Japanese. No, I got. Like a
crouching tiger wooded.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like a bad wound sitting. I get it.
God damn it. Yeah. That's where Jet Li kills the Iron Chef chairman. True story.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Fucking
Mark DeCascos.
Mark DeCascos.
Andy Salinas Garza says Lennon and McCartney.
Yeah.
But I consider that, like, I don't want to, like, yeah, because they're, like, it's really a four. It's a fab four, not so much as
Lennon.
No,
it's Lennon McCartney.
I guess so.
We're like, no, I was. Yeah. Andy Gomez says Tom Hanks and Hooch from Turner and Hooch.
Fucking A.
From which project?
Andrew Thomas says Vader and the Emperor. They brought order to an unruly galaxy. They would have gotten away with it too if it wasn't those pesky teens and those damn droids.
You're on one, Andrew.
Richard Borg says tough one, but I'd have to go with vintage British comedy duo Morecambe and Wise.
I'll Google it.
Yeah. Braylon S. Bell says me and Regan's mom.
Ooh, oh, nice.
They're, I like them both. They're both.
Yeah, you know, that's nice a good people. Duo. They're enjoyable.
Yeah.
They know good Mexican restaurants.
Trip Marcellus says Earl Campbell and Tim Wilson. Perfect eye formation. Couple football players. Carlos Castro says Brent Bumpers and Jay White Cotton telling sad stories.
Yeah, they're pretty. Yeah,
they're very good.
They are both had shitty childhoods.
Ryan Timothy Brace says Edward and Alphonse Elric.
Oh, that's Full Metal Alchemist.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
nice.
They're nice brothers.
Yeah,
fuck yeah.
Samantha Linesbreak says Robin Williams and Jonathan Winters whenever they were together.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
John Craddock says Zoe and Hardaway.
Zoe and Hardaway, Miami. Wait, no. That's, Hornets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basketball players. Kidman and Rey Mysterio Jr.
Funny.
Walter Matthau and Jack Lemmon.
Right on.
Yeah. And Lennon and McCartney. And he's also says John Tesh and Mary Hart.
No, yeah. You know what? Yeah.
Entertainment tonight. Yeah. Case at 12.
Entertainment tonight.
And Shamael Diaz LaBoy says, well, aside from boobs, I'd have to say mother effing Tango and Cash.
Yeah. Captain Dynaball.
Tango and Cash is this year's Lethal Weapon. Just kidding. That was Action Jackson.
It's this year's Tequila Sunrise.
Oh, that was a thing.
Yikes.
So, dynamic duos.
It's kind of funny.
It's all right.
It's all right.
It's not that funny.
Sammo Hung and Arsenio Hall.
No.
Nothing?
Yeah. I was like, oh, this show's so great. Cheech, oh, you know what it needs? Arsenio Hall.
Cheech and the dude from
Nash Bridges.
Nash Bridges. Cheech and Nash Bridges.
Cheech and Miami Vice.
Do you remember the big episode?
Yep. Yeah. With Tubbs and Chong.
Tubbs and Chong.
That was a thing? They did that?
They were visiting somewhere else, and Tubbs and Chong were on set.
I believe Tubbs played like an old partner.
Yeah.
Chong was like, this is a stretch, but like he was like the head of a medical marijuana.
Tommy Chong.
Yeah,
probably.
Whatever.
Guy.
And he came in, like Cheech had to come in and ask for somebody, and they literally wrote in, hey, I'm looking for Dave.
Oh, no way, really?
Yeah, like Dave's not here, man. Just throws that out there like it's nothing.
At the time.
That was the one Nash Bridges episode I watched.
That's a good one. It's a good one to watch.
You're going to watch one.
Watch
that's
that
the
one.
Yeah.
What you been talking about?
Third time on the podcast, yeah. I have to say, yeah, we could have done better.
No, we could have done better. It wasn't the charm. Just gonna say
that's good to know. I mean, just try to, you know, next play it time, out, man. See what happens.
Do your best. We do your best. Nah.
Next time, man. No, it was it was great. It was loads of fun. Load have mercy, and we can't wait to have you back this week. This Wednesday and Thursday at the Comedy Club has been a lot of fun, and Friday and Saturday is going to be shit.
we'll see how this goes.
It's going to be a blast, guys. Make sure you download. And purchase Aaron's album coming out. What's it called?
First one's going to be called In Spite Of.
In spite of.
Yeah.
I like it. Like it. And once again, where can people follow you and find you online?
Please go to AaronComedian.com, Twitter at AaronComedian, Instagram at AaronComedian, YouTube AaronComedian. I try to make it easy.
Yeah, try to make makes it sense. Easy. I like it. So, Aaron, this being your third time on Public Access, you are fully well aware that this is an educational program.
Absolutely.
Right. So we ask our guests and ourselves, what did you come to know during this podcast? What made you come to learn something new about yourself or other people? Jess, what did you come to know?
What I've always known is that when cereal factories fuck up, like, they're just the most, you know, there's... They just straight up tell you what happened. The factory fucked up. Now your box of Lucky Charms has extra rainbows or it has, you know, whatever. But.
Damn Obama.
Yeah. You know, but I think the future has not granted us the glory that is 12 scoops of raisins. Which I think should be the hashtag for this episode. Just
12 scoops of raisins.
12 scoops.
12 scoops, yeah, that's a hashtag.
12 scoops, all right.
And because I've been thinking about it, I've been visualizing it, a big bowl, a big Friday-style bowl of raisins. Like, Ice Cube, Joe woke up, he's going to get down on Raisin Bran, but his
but they
dad...
they don't come out of the box because they're all stuck together.
A brick of raisins.
And just a brick of raisins. But they, you know... There's milk, and he puts milk in there, and he's eating, you know,
giant... Better put some water on that damn shit.
Yeah, giant bowl of raisins with a big metal wooden spoon of a giant, you know, Kool-Aid bowl. So, yeah, I think that's like I come to know that that's the mistake we need to have happen.
What did we call it? Oops. No.
Well, 12 scoops. Oops, all raisins.
Oops, all raisins.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, like, fuck the brand.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the brand.
That's a tag. Oops, yeah, fuck all raisins. Oops, all raisins. It's oops, all crunch, all crunch.
All berries.
All berries.
Oops, all berries.
So this is all raisins. What I came to know was what a Mormon FJ is.
Yeah.
I you know, you put yourself
in
the
Urban Dictionary. You can look it up.
Yeah, we're going to look it up. When you're in a position mm-hmm. to where AOL chat exists, mm-hmm. and there's three chubby ass fucking.
Hey, how do you know they're chubby?
Jez?
2 out of 3.
So that's almost like 5 Mormon wives.
Yeah, exactly.
That's where the Mormon comes in.
And I'm all about it, dude. And it's cool. And why?
No, it's one no, one chub, and one hmm.
I did. But you know what? Just like George Carlin says, I've never had a 10, but I've had 5 twos. So yeah, I'd fucked her.
Hey, I got you get the job done.
Yeah, it was George Burns.
Sorry. Yeah. Not George Carlin.
Yeah, you're right. Him and Grace. That's my favorite duo.
Did you ever fuck a 10, George?
Did you ever fuck a 10, George?
I've had 5 twos.
Cigar out of the mouth. I've had 5 twos.
I've had 5 twos.
So, a Mormon FJ. That was a foot orgy. I dig it. So, that's fucking 30 toes wiggling the balls
in
your jeans.
There's a dude out there who's into that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, double shins.
Yeah. I learned that someone was like, hey, I like cherries, I like cheesecake, I like cookies, and I like cupcakes. Let's make something called cherry cheesecake cookie cupcakes. That exists. That's out there, needing to be eaten. And I need to find Ryan Timothy Brace to make some for me so that I can eat some cherry cheesecake and cookie cupcakes.
That sounds absolutely delightful.
And I also learned that police bot...
Is that, yeah. Police bot
needs to be made.
No, that is probably made in what country are they doing? The,
oh, that's probably Turkey. Yeah, that's Turkey's RoboCop. Yeah, police bot.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to see police bot.
No copyright laws in Turkey. Oh. Let's make police bot.
That's what I learned. I came in.
Please sign here. Please initial there.
Please make sure to show up before September 14th.
On or before September 14th.
Whether you stay alive or whether you die, please get in my car.
I'd buy that for a quarter.
Aaron.
I learned that the thing that I feel the most guilty about, that I'm confessing that I felt so mean about, is actually too horrific for some friends. I learned that I should feel even guiltier than I do.
Yeah.
That did not make me feel
guilty. Larry can no longer look you in the eyes.
Yeah, that's what he said. That's what he said.
Let's just not bring it up.
Because Larry... No. Wow, I kind of forgot about it.
See? You shouldn't have brought it up.
Shit.
Shouldn't have brought it up.
Wow, man.
Ugly?
Jeez. They're children.
Say nasty
you
things.
Say things you don't mean when
I
you're
murdered
eating.
Two kids, so I don't have room to talk.
You attempted to murder two kids.
Out of context, I was a kid,
oh,
too.
Oh, crap. Yeah. All right. Wow, you're a terrible kid.
It's like I had sex with a 15-year-old.
What?
I was 15, too.
Out of context.
14. He was badass.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Jill was a tits.
So, Jess, what do we got going on?
Hey, guys. Thanks for listening to us on oneofus.net. We highly appreciate you guys taking the time out of your wonderful long day and putting us in your ear holes and letting us fill the void inside. You can get old adventures to fill your brain with at comediaagogo.com. Past episodes with Aaron I. Emperor. There's two of them in there, so dig away or ask Travis K. point the way. He'll tell you which ones they are. You can answer our topics on our Facebook Happy Campers page. On Facebook, Public Access, Happy Campers, just look at it. Public Access is also on Facebook. Look us up on Twitter, at ComediaGogo, hashtag Public Access. And as always, thank you so, so much for answering our topics. It makes the show so robust and flavorful, much like a Bill Miller's fried chicken omelet.
And guys, don't forget to come out to the Blind Tiger Comedy Club every Friday night at midnight for our free showcase, guys, comedians from all over city, state, and country are coming through in there. And if you're in the San Antonio area, come to October 30th at the Blind Tiger for our first ever Candy Butcher's Comedy Sideshow, guys. We're going to have Kenny Van, Travis Reyes, Comedia Agogo, Captain M.A. Zine from San Marcos, and Black Orchid from the Stars and Garters Burlesque Show. So make sure you come out and support something different in our city. Once again, Aaron, thank you so much.
I love you guys. Thanks for having me.
We love you.
I love you. And once again, this is Larry.
This is Regan.
And this is Jess.
And we'll be mean to you later.